Yeah, thanks. Thanks, guys. Thank you. Awesome. Wow, I'm having fun. I really enjoyed you up there, girl. Yeah. When you talked about giving all your fountains, I was like, come on. Can you trust him with everything? Come on, he gave us life, right? We can trust him with our life. So just awesome. Man, Mark, when you tell that story about me saying so, it just sounds so brutal. I actually don't remember saying it, but I probably did. What's that?
You made t-shirts.
You made t-shirts that say so? Oh, Lord Jesus. So it's really awesome, though. I can imagine I said it. I don't remember saying it, but I probably said it like, well, so? And then I quickly commented. He just tells the so. Like, so? You do it every time. I'm like, oh, my goodness. But I probably said so, but meaning this. So what have you told me that changes anything about truth, what you're called to be, created to be, who you are in Christ, your anointing, and your purpose? So he's telling me all these things, and I'm like, so? And all he remembers is, so? So see, the transformation of the gospel is just changing things like that. Come on, we've taken things personal our whole life. All of a sudden, we think trouble is really trouble. Trouble might be an opportunity to respond in Christ, to respond in truth. It might actually just make a draw on the change that's taking place in you. Yeah? Come on, if Jesus said, let your light so shine before men, I don't think anything should have the power to turn off the light. So no matter what's going on, I bet the point is, what's Christ look like in the moment in you? Yeah? So? I like that guy a lot. He said, Dan said so. But I do. I counsel that way a lot. I have a lot of friends and people in my life for a long time, and they don't do it really anymore. But that was early on in Mark and I's friendship. And he was going through a thing, and he wanted to run it by me. And I think it's a great answer, because I think what we need to see is, no matter what you're going through, people, everyone in this room, please just listen to this carefully. Whatever you're going through, this is for you now. It doesn't change truth. It doesn't change who he is in you and why he's in you. You can't let what you're going through decide who you are and how you are. You'll always be deceived. Now, if the only reason you're a Christian is for blessing, protection, and provision, you're already in trouble. Because that's not the scriptural reason for Christianity, but that's what we preach all the time. We always make Christianity for our sake. We come to God for our sake instead of come to God for his great name. Come on, there's a such thing called surrender. There's a such thing called giving all your fountains to him. Trust in your children, trust in your life, trust in your home, your finances, your marriage. Yeah? You know what the problem is if you don't? So you'll find your identity, your encouragement, and your emotional level through one of those things on that list. There's people finding their identity through their children. They call it love, and a lot of times it's fear and desperation and despair, and they're praying and praying and praying and praying. There ain't an ounce of faith in it. It's actually worry and concern and despair. And then they're watching their children, and the least little thing that looks out of line, woo, they panic, they react, and they're a product of whatever they're believing about their child, and their prayers all subverted. It was just all a heart cry of fear and terror and despair. In my 26 years of Christianity, I've watched a whole lot of parents lose themselves, their identity, because of their children, instead of stand strong in Christ and proclaim truth over them in the bedroom and live in a place of prophecy and faith. And yeah, instead of panic and desperation, fear. And the other thing is that we think right away, if our child makes a bad mistake, we think it's because we failed or did something wrong along the way. Who knows, that could be true, that we could help feed that problem. But there's a such thing called redemption and mercy and God's grace. I've found that more times than not, that isn't the case. It's just people make bad decisions, and sometimes people get on wrong tracks. Yeah? Just because a child fails doesn't mean a parent failed. Right. But I'll tell you, when it gets messy is when you take that failure into your identity and you live in condemnation and you let the light go out. Because honestly, church, I could say this with tears. I'll just push them back. If we're living without shining, then we're missing why we're here. He said, let your light so shine. You're not shining if you're discouraged. You're not shining if you're offended. You're not shining if you're worried, if you're in fear, if you're self-centered and self-focused. You're not shining if you're touchy and hurt. Is that all right?
You still excited you're here, or are you like, what am I doing here?
No, no, watch this. That list that I just shared that you're not shining if, I've never seen anybody live in that place and be full of joy. I've never saw anybody live in that place and tell me that they're enjoying their life. Wonder if there's a place to live free from that list. Wonder if there's a place to make a real surrender and you're not just praying a prayer to get a blessing or go to heaven or get your name in a book called life. Wonder if you're actually giving everything you are to who he is so who he is can be the reality of your life. So that all of a sudden you can wake up literally to shine, that nobody actually owes you a thing. You've submitted your life to Christ. You've given yourself to him. Yeah? And all of a sudden it starts challenging things and changing everything. The why behind your life, your motive in life, why you're alive, how you respond. Everything has to get looked at. If you're not alive for you and you're alive for his great name, that has to change everything in your life. Come on, it has to take that reactionary thing, that self-centered driven thing, that I can't believe they said that. Well, that really hurt. They said what? They did what? Ooh, ah, e, right? I've never seen anybody manifest Jesus living that way. Now, I've seen him cry out his name. And not get a whole lot of help. And then because they're already self-focused now, they're even mad at God in time and wonder why he ain't intervening and changing people for their sake. Don't you let Christianity go there, because it never was there. There's a very self-centered message that's been preached in this country for a very long time. I'm 59. Ever since I've been alive, I've heard a very self-centered message. I'm sure it started before I was born. But I know it's been on the earth since I've been born. A message that just provides for you, protects you, and gives you blessing, takes care of you, keeps everything safe that you're concerned about. And if that's ruffled, where's God been? Or what am I doing wrong? Or why isn't God? And now you have questions and quandary. When you have questions and quandary, you don't have intimacy and relationship with the Lord. When you have questions, you're not living by faith. You're all concerned. Come on, I just will never, ever preach a gospel like that. I've never seen people live strong and stay consistent when it's all about them. Now, we're good at singing. Look, I didn't come here to correct you. Can you tell I'm not being mean? I'm not here to spank you. I'm here to tell you who you are. I'm here to encourage you and cheer you forward. Yeah? Come on, this self-centered thing is such a lie. I've never seen a Christian that's a Christian for themselves run well, do well, or stay well for long. Because life speaks louder than truth. And you're doing no better than how things are unfolding. And then all your prayers are driven by problems. And you're just praying for God to change everything around you for your sake. Instead of living in the midst of it all for his namesake and manifesting the glory of who he is in the face of fire. You show me where Jesus was busy putting out fires. He's Lord over the fire. He wouldn't give the fire that much honor to put it out. You think he's threatened by Nebuchadnezzar's best shot, 7 times hotter? Woo-hoo! Come on, he just shows up in the middle of it, and the 3 boys are bound head to foot. I'm fascinated how they even got in there. Because when the servants of the king, because the decree was so urgent, when they opened the door, the 2 guards got consumed by the fire and got burnt, boom, to a crisp. That leaves 3 bound boys head to foot. They're bound. They're doing this, guys. How'd they get in there? The 2 men that were going to put them in got burned as soon as they opened the door. Boom, done. Them 3 boys are standing there. There's no explanation how they got in. I know how they got in. Jesus, he said, oh, this is going to be good. And you're praying to get out of the fire. He probably pushed them in. You know why? Because they weren't afraid to die. They were afraid to not believe. They were afraid to bow to something that wasn't Lord. They were afraid to compromise. They were afraid to love their own lives. They were afraid to submit to something that wasn't Lord. And they wasn't bowing to no image. And they were not afraid of the fire. So Jesus said, this is awesome. I might be theologically wrong, but it works for me. Because they got in there somehow. And the two men that were trying to put them in got, boom, burnt. In a moment, poof. So how'd they get in? Michael, get down there quick. I'm just not sure God's not responsible for that one. But here's what I love about the story. He didn't come flying from heaven and douse the fire and put it out. He let them boys stand right in the middle of what they were going through. Anybody listening? And then he stood right in there with them. And never changed what they were going through. He just hung out right in the middle of it with them. Yeah? When the king saw a fourth man in there, he was like the Son of God. And they were like, whoa. And the king yelled to the boys. He said, come on out of there. They come out of the fire. The Bible says there was no singeing, no burning, no evidence that they ever went through what they went through, but they went through it, and there was no smell of even smoke. We ought to learn from that in a new covenant that has greater glory. Many of us are wearing exactly what we've been through. Some of us have been wearing it for 20 years. 30, 40 years. We're 50, Sam, but you don't know what it was like when I was growing up. Whew, I'm about ready to. I'm not being insensitive. I'm being real and relatable. And all of a sudden, you're looking like what you've been through instead of looking like who's in you. See, born again isn't receiving him into your heart. It's giving him your life and getting a brand new one. It's getting a brand new way of thinking, a brand new motive, a brand new why, a brand new motivation is what I mean by motive. Yeah? Yeah. And all of a sudden, I used to wake up for me at your expense, inevitably. Let's just get real. When you're living self-centered, somebody's going to pay. Come on, think nothing if you're right. Think nothing of throwing a fit in a home of four or five, putting pressure on everybody, making them have to respond to you. Living at the expense of others could be that simple. When you're living for yourself, you're going to live at the expense of somebody. Somebody's going to pay. Here's Jesus doing everything right, and he's paying for us to be made right. Now that impresses me. Come on, we sang about that cross tonight. We sang about the broken body and the blood. We sang about it. Isn't it amazing that he would come? Don't let this be an Easter story, a Christmas thing. Don't let it be a movie that you watch and feel sad. Let it be the revelation and the life change of your life that God would come as a man to fulfill what man failed so he could redeem and restore all things about why he made man, who we are in him, who he is in us. And let's go ahead, get born again, live born again, put off the old, put on the new, and seek ye first the kingdom of God. Come on. I want somebody preaching to me like that. I went to church till I was almost 20. Ain't nobody told me this. They just said he died on the cross because I'm a messed up young man with a bunch of sin in my heart, which I'm always going to have and I'm always going to be. And luckily, he shed his blood to forgive me, so hopefully I can get to heaven. That's all I heard. That's all anybody ever told me. That he died on the cross because I was a messed up sinner and I always was going to be a messed up sinner. Religion is so wretched, people in a room this size are thinking, so what are you saying? You ain't a sinner? You didn't sin? You don't sin? You're perfect? That's exactly what religion has taught us, so you can't even hear the message. Isn't it amazing truth spoke in the streets, in the flesh, by the Spirit for 3 years, and they killed him for what he said? Isn't it amazing how arrogant people have become in the fall of man, that they're so busy being right that they can't even hear truth? That Jesus himself could speak in the company of men, and they decide if he's right. And kill him for his words, because it was heresy. Jesus, heretic Jesus. Scary. That's scary. Blasphemer Jesus. Son of God, Son of man, was and is to come. Nothing made that wasn't made through him, yet he came to his own and they knew him not. And when he spoke, they only listened for what they didn't agree with and could never hear what he said. And 3 years in, decided it's time. You die. Ain't that something? That's shocking to me. It don't get no clearer than Jesus talking. He wasn't just preaching the truth. He was the truth. From the beginning, whatever that means. Ain't that something? He took a whole chapter to say, you say, but I say. You say, but I say. What's he saying? You ain't saying what I'm saying. He says, you have heard it said. You ain't heard said what I'm saying. I come from a whole different place. I'm living a whole different way. And it's the, not a. The way. Not a way. He's not a bright idea. He's not an option. He's the. He's the way. He's the way back to the Father. He's the truth about the Father. He's the very life of the Father revealed. He's the way for us to get back to the Father. He's the truth about us in the Father, because he said, when you see me, you see the Father. He said, follow me, and the things I do, you'll do if you believe. He's the firstborn among many brethren. 1 John 2, if any man says he abides in him, ought to walk even as he walked. Romans 8, predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son. 2 Corinthians 3, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord and being transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. Colossians 3:10, put off the old man and his deeds and put on the new man, who's renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. And we preach a prayer to go to heaven. Wow. I wonder where we got that message. And make the whole goal of the cross go to heaven. The whole goal of the cross is your transformation. It's you putting off the old and putting on the new. It's you becoming love. The whole goal of the cross is living Christ, not singing to him. Living him, not praying to him when you're overwhelmed. Living him and shining and being ye separate, coming out from among them, not conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. If he died so you live, and those who live ought to no longer live for themselves, but him that died, and therefore judge no man according to the flesh. 2 Corinthians 5. I read this book. It is full of dynamic, life-changing truth. Yeah? And I believe it, and I'm encouraging you to believe it, so I don't even have time today to have issues. And he said what and what? Well, that hurt. Well, I can't believe. Well, you just can't trust nobody. Well, you know, pastor, and be awesome if it wasn't for the people. I don't have time for that. I never did. I won't tomorrow, and for the rest of my life, I've been set free. What are you free from? Your sins? I've been free from every sin I've ever committed. The blood has washed me free. It's taken away. But guess what I've been free from? I've been set free from me. I used to think you were my biggest problem. I used to think if I could make peace with you and somehow work a deal with you, maybe it would be okay. Or if God would somehow come along and just tweak you. life could be better. But I never thought that it was about me changing. I got free from me. Because I realized in that Bible that he never made me for me. He made me for his image. He made me for his glory. So why are we just teaching men to pray a prayer to go to heaven? Why aren't we putting off the old and putting on the new? Why aren't we dying to self? Jesus never said pray a prayer to go to heaven. It's nowhere in your Bible that Jesus said pray a prayer to go to heaven. Jesus said, if you're coming after me, you need to do something, friend. You need to deny yourself. You need to pick up your cross and follow me. That's Jesus's invite. That's not harsh. That's life-giving. Why? Because the deny yourself is your freedom. Why? You were never made for you. You were made for the image of God. You were made for his great name. You were made for his good pleasure. You weren't made for you. You were made for him. Yay. So we probably ought to put off the lie so we can walk in the truth, because every one of us was born into me, myself, and I. Come on, everybody in this room was born into a lost identity through sin, separation from God, death on the inside, formed in our mother's womb in iniquity. Everybody in this room was born with need, 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 need. You didn't know who you were. You needed stability, support. You needed attention. You needed valued. And most of us didn't have many of those things on the list. And even if you had them all, you still have need. And it's still all about you trying to fit, wanting people to like you, worrying about what they think. Self-conscious, self-centered, self-focused, self-defending, self-driven, self-protected. Every one of us. And Jesus said, hey, if you think you're going to follow me, there's something you got to do. Die to that lie. I never made you for you. I made you for my image. So die to you so I can put my spirit inside of you and you can follow me. Yeah? Yeah. And then you're going to pick up your cross, because if you don't deny yourself, you'll never pick up your cross. If you don't deny yourself, you'll let sin against you have the right to produce sin in you. Well, they started it. Well, you don't know what they did. Well, you don't know what they put me through. You don't know how long. Well, how would you like to be in my shoes? Well, you don't know what it's like. Wonder if Jesus talked like that for one day and believed it. Wonder if Jesus looked at us in our lives and said, I had enough. You just rubbed me wrong. Yeah, see, when you talk like that, it sounds silly because we know him better. But he made us for his image, and we only know us for what we were born into, but you got to be born again. We were born into Adam, and what's flesh is flesh, and what is spirit. See, when I make comments like that and Jesus talking like that, it sounds hilarious and silly. It should sound silly when we talk like that, because we're made for his image, and Christ in us is the hope of glory. It's not us singing to him. It's not us gathering in his name. It's us taking on his life, taking on his spirit, taking on his ways, taking on his motives, taking on his love. Yeah? Come on. I know this thing is right. It's all through scripture. Now, I'm not mad at you, and I'm not talking to you in the room. I'm talking to the greater body of Christ when I make this comment. It's a general comment. We give ourselves away that we don't totally understand this, because there's many of us that stay discouraged, live discouraged, disappointed, frustrated, angry, some of us even mad at God for things that have happened. Mad at each other, falling apart, don't want to go to church anymore, can't trust nobody, putting up superficial walls, hard, hard, and hurt. Proves we don't understand the gospel. We're crying out for him, we're hanging around him, but we haven't taken him on. Come on, I'm just talking straight. I'm not blaming anybody, and I'm not saying that's you. I'm saying don't let that be you. Are you guys all right if I'm just playing like this? Come on, you might as well talk like this. There ain't no freedom in anything else. I'm telling you, friend, if you get free from you, see, it's the biggest problem on the planet. We think it's the politics thing. We think it's the election. We think it's racism. We think it's COVID. Church freaked out in the last 15 months. Proof that we really don't know him, freaked out, living in fear, living angry, mad at people, taking sides in politics and hating on people. I watched some of my own friends lose the heart of God over politics. Ugh. And they're talking names with spite, sarcasm, nicknames for people that were created for God's image, that they're supposed to be loving on and praying for and weeping for. Not criticizing and backbiting and backlashing with an angry heart because you don't agree. We didn't do a good showing overall as a church. I'm not saying you personally. Overall as a church, we were really giving away. This last 15 months or so was a real barometer. Man, it's time to shake things up in our hearts a little bit and say, wait a minute. Why am I alive in Christ? Why am I waking up? What do my days really mean? What am I really going after? Come on. Because politics ain't the problem. Racism ain't the problem. It's a problem. It ain't the problem. COVID ain't the problem. The problem is that every day men wake up for themselves when they're made for God's image. That's the problem on the earth. Here's a bigger problem. It's the way I got to say it in my heart. The majority of Christians tend to get stuck there. And they're a Christian for their sake instead of his great namesake and the sake of others. You prove it when you're offended. You prove it when you fight with unforgiveness. You prove it when you stay in a lingering hurt. You prove it when you just stay disappointed and find a reason to be discouraged. It's self-centered. A man that's not thinking for himself cannot stay in any of those things. And just because life taught us that way doesn't mean the giver of life made us to be that way. Because I ain't learned none of those lessons from Jesus. I never saw Jesus throw a fit. I never saw Jesus just hanging out in a chapter of my Bible, just kind of hanging out. You ever see Jesus just hanging out? Just thinking about how people are treating him. How he's trying so hard. How he's doing nothing but right and means good and means right. And every time he does right, they call it evil. And it's just wearing on him. Just wearing on him. He feeds them and they could care less about what he has to say. And the only reason they track him down is so he feeds them again. It's just wearing on him. He just sitting. Peter comes to me and says, what's the matter, Lord? Oh, man, you don't understand, Peter, what it's like to be in my shoes. Well, Lord, I've never seen, don't put Lord me. You don't even have a clue, man, what you're trying to say. You don't even know what it's like to be perfect, man, and be perfect in your love and all your ways. You don't even know what it's like, dude. And then I'm that way to the people, and all they gotta say, oh, he's a blasphemer. He's Belial. He heals from the devil. Every day, man, day in and day out. You don't have none of those chapters in your Bible, Jesus having a little fallout? You don't have Jesus having a little meltdown? No little meltdown in your Bible. You don't have him coming up from the grave, raised from the dead, saying, where are those bunch of two-faced, backstabbing, low-life, chicken-hearted, said they'll die for me at the supper table. Yeah, right, we'll die for you, we'll die for you. Yeah, really died for me. Chickens. I wonder why I even died for them. They ain't willing to lay down their life for me. So all that language we can relate to, that we've heard and acted on our whole lives, we've never seen it in Jesus, never heard it in Jesus, then I wonder where we got it. It sure couldn't have been from him. I wonder where we learned to act this way and think this way. Wow. You mean we were homeschooled in the wrong home? You mean we had the wrong curriculum? You mean the way that seemeth right to a man has been our wisdom? It says the anger of man will never produce the righteousness of God. And we've spent a lot of time in anger. There was a lot of pastors. How many pastors? Help me with this. Pastors, bless you. Bless you. You might even be here just checking up on me, but no matter why you're here, watch this. Watch this. Tell me if I'm right or wrong. 90-some percent of counseling is people struggling with people. Fair statement? Fair statement, pastors? Fair statement. Wow. That's where you go, so? See, it's a good sign that we don't understand the gospel when it's just so many people struggling with people. Just struggling in your marriage. Just your spouse just getting on you. Just can't even take it no more. I don't even know what I'm going to do. If God doesn't change them soon, I just know how I can bear it no more. Wonder if God said, if you don't change soon, I can't bear it no more. I'm telling you, we have learned how to give up on each other in self-centeredness. We haven't learned how to follow Jesus and lay down our life for others. See, the Bible says, a man that loves his wife loves himself in a healthy way, meaning in the Lord. So what's it mean if a man doesn't love his wife? See, the priority isn't, well, he doesn't love his wife. He doesn't love himself. And because we're trying to drink from each other because we ain't drank from him. Now we're trying to drink from dry cups, so we're dry. Now we ain't got nothing to make nobody wet because we're dry. And now the person that we're dry because of is our biggest issue. And until they change, or we just change environment, we'll never be okay. But the truth is, you'll never be okay until you change that thing. That you need somebody to do everything right and be everything right. See, let me tell you what I love you means. I love you means I love you. It means I don't seek my own. And I take no account of the wrong done to me. Now people say, brother, you can't preach that because that makes you a pushover. You're just a doormat. People will use you. Was Jesus a doormat? Did people use him? Or was he the manifestation of God, the manifestation of love? See, God made man for his image. Let's not mess this thing up. God said, let us make man in our image. And in God's image and likeness, he made man. Can't be talking about a head, arms, and legs because God don't have a body. He's spirit. Must be talking about who God is, not what he looks like. Because we all look different anyway. Come here, honey, help me, please, real quick. This is easy. You ain't gonna mistake us. Now our smile looks kind of the same. You can see something the same in our eyes. But you ain't gonna mistake us. You ain't gonna come up to her and say, are you Dan? Oh, no, wait, you're not Dan. Right? Watch. We're different genders. We come from different cultures, different backgrounds, different race, if you want to go right down to it. But watch this. There ain't nothing alike about us at all in all those things. There's so much diversity standing right here. But yet we can both wake up and look just like him. Now watch. That's what makes us one. That's what makes us the body of Christ. We can both wake up and look like him.
Yeah. Ain't that awesome?
That's good.
Yeah. That's just good. And here's the other thing you got to see. Because people feeling like, oh, this and this. You know what I mean?
Watch this. The biggest lie on the planet. Biggest lie on the planet. Everybody in this room and everybody on this earth has the same exact absolute value because they can all walk in the light of season light. Everybody can walk in love. Everybody can wake up to shine. Now, here's how I can take it a step further. Here's how I know everybody on the earth has the same exact value, because the same exact price was paid for them all. That's a no-brainer. You don't go into Walmart and pick up all this stuff, and they got the same price on everything. You going out there with TVs, three of you carrying that thing. $12.99. Well, you had $12.99 on everything. They got different prices on different product. Because everything has different value and purpose. But everybody here has same value and same purpose. Oh, you might have children on your heart. You might have missions on your heart. You might have a heart for the elderly. You might have a heart for the shut-ins or the homeless. That's all just different callings and different graces. But watch. We all have the same purpose. We all have the same calling. To shine as lights in the midst of darkness. Not get moved by darkness. Not react to darkness. Not be motivated by darkness. But respond to light. You know what the definition of darkness is? Who knows the definition of darkness? Absence of light.
Ye are the light of the world. Jesus just has an answer for everything.
Oh, but Lord, it's just so dark. People, it's why don't you come back already? It's getting darker.
Well, I don't know where Jesus is, man. It's getting dark. Do you think he'd come and got us out of here by now? Come, Lord. Yesterday would have been great. But I'll take it today.
There's people talk like that to the Lord. And they're called to shine, and they're being moved by darkness. What you're saying is, I prayed the prayer. Hey, everybody else should have. They didn't. Fine. I'm out of here. To heaven with me, to hell with y'all. If you didn't pray the prayer. You see how lame that is? Arise, shine. Your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Darkness shall cover the earth, deep darkness the people, but the light is on you. And the Gentiles will come to your light. The kings will come to the rising of your brightness. What's the Gentiles coming to?
Your message? Your church service?
Coming to the light. So if you're the enemy, wouldn't you get people to keep going to church and make sure they don't shine? If you were the enemy, wouldn't you just keep... Just, hey, go to church. We don't care. I've been convinced my whole life that Satan could care less that we go to church. I think he motivates some people to go to church. Because it takes the place of knowing him. And he can get you trapped in religion. It's one of the most dangerous things you'll ever do is just go to church. And our whole goal is get people to church. Not if you're not learning to be selfless. To walk in mercy and make peace and love. If you just go into some sentimental thing and just, Jesus, take care of me, protect me, you're toast. You're toast because the first challenge, you're already, the boat's so rocked, you're already crying out like, why are you sleeping? Can't you see we're about to get capsized and sink? Why are you sleeping? Man never sleeps, stays up all night, praying all night, and the storm's coming, we're about to sink, and he's sleeping. Get up, man. I embellished that a little. But I thought it in my life. I thought, ain't that funny? You don't see no place where Jesus is sleeping. It seems like he didn't never sleep. He's sitting up all night just praying, thinking about folks, interceding. And when the storm comes, he let him. It's amazing. He called him little faith. Oh, you little faith. Why did he say that? Because he already said, go to the other side. If Jesus said, go to the other side, is he going to get you there? Did he set him up, go to the other side? Ha, got him out in the middle of the storm. Got him now. Woo-hoo! So silly. Come on. I want to act goofy so this thing sticks in you. And you never believe this stuff again, right? Like if Jesus said, go to the other side. And they're heading across there. It's okay, he's sleeping, because where are they going? So when the storm comes in your life, your circumstances, what do you say? That's why it's important to have relationship and direction from the Lord in your life. So if you have relationship and direction and you know what he said, go to the other side. Hey, doesn't matter, come hell or high water, I'm going to the other side. It might not look like we're getting there. We're getting there. Ain't going to lose an ounce of sleep. I'm going to sleep with Jesus. Because we're going to the other side. He said, go to the other side. He said, oh, you little faith. Why? They're letting things matter more than what matters most. The word of the Lord. Well, it's important to get to know him. It's important to have intimacy and relationship with him. Talk to him. Pray to him. Commune with him. One of the least things taught in the body of Christ is communion with the Lord and fellowshipping with the Lord. Paul talks about fellowship and communion with the person of Holy Spirit. Some of us are taught that Holy Spirit ain't even here. He's just a positional thing instead of a person, a helper. a paraclete, aloes, just like me. He's my best friend. You ain't talking me out of him. You're way too late. That's like telling me Mark doesn't exist, even if I didn't see him for 10 years. Well, there wasn't never no Mark Castro. What are you talking about? I know the man. No, he never was. That's silly. Holy Spirit is here. He's here. And Jesus said to commune with him through Paul, fellowship with him, have relationship with him. Really, Jesus said it. If you read his writings, he said he's not going to speak on his own authority. He's going to say that which he hears. There's people that say God don't speak today. Probably ought to talk to Jesus about that. If Holy Spirit's only going to say what he hears, that means he's speaking. If he's going to show me things to come and bear witness to my heart of all things that are mine through Jesus that came from the Father, sounds like communion, relationship. Sounds like something going on here. If he's going to lead me and guide me and direct me, yeah? Why do we make it so mystical and like he can't just be real and have relationship with us? We get caught in a lot of false humilities trying to do that stuff too. Like, well, who do you think you are? Well, I'll tell you who I think I am. I know who I am. I was created by God in the beginning for his good pleasure, to be in fellowship with him, to be one with him, so who he is could shine through my life. That got lost through Adam, and Jesus said, hey, I got this taken care of before the foundation of the world. Love you, boy, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done. I've never changed my mind about you, and I know who you are, and I know why you're here, and I'm going to teach you who you are and why you're here. Bam. And there's Christian leaders that want to fight that in a false humility. A false humility. Not receiving something he paid for, friends, is false humility. If he says you're holy, blameless, and above reproach, don't walk around saying we're just so unworthy. Why don't you stand up in the morning and thank God that you're worthy through the blood of Jesus and the finished work of Christ? And lift your hands when nobody's looking and say, thank you that you washed me clean. You've realigned my mind. It used to think contrary to you and made me an enemy to you and everything you stood for. It's Colossians 1, guys. And then you say, but you through your death have reconciled me because you love me and you had a higher thing for me than I ever knew. And you have presented me holy. It's in your Bible, blameless and above reproach in your sight. It says in his sight. This isn't positional. This isn't a declaration and a Christian confession. It's how he sees you. It would behoove you to see yourself the way he does so you can be empowered by the truth of what he accomplished. So my Bible says, if I present my members to righteousness, it'll produce its fruit to holiness. All of a sudden, there's holiness in my life without me biting my lip trying to be holy, because that would be a bust. But he captured my heart. He won me. I see his first love, and I love him. So I yield, and I submit, and I surrender. And all of a sudden, I'm a slave to righteousness. It literally means bound and chained to serve its will and testimony. So I'm bound and chained to righteousness to serve its will and testimony. And we're like, well, yeah, but brother, we're always going to sin. You concern me when you preach, sir, because you make it sound like you never sin. Are you saying you're perfect? See, you can't even hear the word of righteousness. You've been so blind by deception and religion. How can you reckon yourself dead indeed to sin and alive unto God, Romans 6:11, and keep boasting in your ability to commit it? How will you ever walk free from its consciousness, its awareness, its actions, its desire, if you keep putting it on like a cloak daily? Dan Moeller's sermon doesn't say, reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin. Romans 6 says it.
1 Peter 2 says he bore your sin and my sin in his body on a tree so that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness. And by his stripes we are healed. That is not my sermon. I found that in my Bible. So the people that stay conscious of sin, judge themselves, weigh themselves, and talk like that, I don't see freedom. I see anger. I see judgment. I see frustration. They'll attack you in a heartbeat because they can't relate to your language. And they call you an enemy. And Jesus doesn't say I'm an enemy because he said your war is never flesh and blood. Yay. You guys all right? I hope you're all right, because I'm actually doing pretty good. I feel kind of born again preaching this message. I was looking around for a water baptismal. I was ready to go double dip. Listen, let's just not fight over this thing. We were yet sinners, and Christ came and died for the ungodly. But he didn't write to the sinners of Ephesus or Colossae or Philippi. He wrote to the saints. Peter wrote to the saints from all the surrounding regions. He didn't write to those who are about to sin any minute, thank God for the blood. I think some of us would have rather he wrote that. Your motive in your life, your ability to hear or lack of hearing. Jesus said, be careful how you hear. People that are fighting this thing all the time, make no mistake about it, would have fought Jesus, would have fought Peter, would have fought Paul. You can go to church every day and live against his kingdom. If you don't gather, you scatter. If you're not for, you're against. He's not talking about did you pray a prayer or not called salvation. He's saying, is your motive working with what I'm working for? Are you co-laboring with me or working directly against me? Are you walking in love? Are you walking in self-centeredness? He's not talking about serving in a ministry. He's not talking about facilitating something here to help the thing run better. He's talking about you're either for me or you're against me. Your motives, your understanding, and the way you're living is either complementing everything I'm pursuing to accomplish or it's working directly against. Isn't that something? Wow. You guys all right? It's very convicting. Watch this. 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another because love is of God. And everyone, not some, everyone who loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Watch. He who loveth not just doesn't know God. He didn't say you don't pastor. He didn't say you don't lead worship. He didn't say you don't go on mission trips. But I'll tell you what he did say. He said, if you don't love, there's one reason, not two. One, you don't know him like you could. There's a lot of people that were just taught they needed to pray a prayer so they can go to heaven in case they die. They were never taught they have to put off the old so they can put on the new. You can't pour new wine into the old wineskin. No wonder it spills out and that thing always seems empty. You've got to make the wineskin new so the new wine sits in it and people can drink of it. Yeah? Come on. It's just solid. You hear how these are good messages? They're not mean messages. They're not corrective. Not spanking nobody. Cheering you on and saying, hey, let's live for what he paid for. Let's be excited, man. And let's live for what he paid for. Just the general countenance. And I'm not being weird when I say this. I'm not being judgmental. Just the general countenance of the body of Christ. gives away that we don't totally understand the message, because he said it's good tidings of great joy. When you understand the good tidings, great joy is the automatic response. Not some joy, great joy. Not trying to do a put-on thing, not going to lay hands on everybody and make you go, ha, ha, ha. What I'm saying is your heart comes alive because of what you see. And all of a sudden you understand what you're here for. And in understanding what you're here for, you see what you're not here for. And all of a sudden there's this sanctification with understanding, and the lights come on. It's ding, 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 and that's what repentance looks like. Repentance isn't like, now it can for a moment, just a moment, look like that. But repentance should just be ding, 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 whoa, duh, yeah, what? I promise you. Because if all your repentance is woo, those people tend to stay condemned, get legalistic, be their own judge, take tests every night that God never set on their desk and grade their own scores, and then weigh their identity through their own assessment. And the whole time the blood of Jesus is speaking better things, and Holy Spirit wants to be their friend. And after three tests, they're not worthy of friendship. And after three tests, they're wondering if God even hears them when they pray. But they care inside. They're just deceived. So they keep going to church and Bible studies and watching sermons and cry themselves to sleep. No great joy in that, because that's not good tidings. Come on, some of you in this room know what I'm talking about. You've been there. Don't you ever stay there. And if you're there now, duh, what, whoa. Ding, 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 ding. Woohoo! I'm having so much fun. You all right? Isn't it amazing? Do you hear how many scriptures did I quote? I even quoted the address of most of them. Just so you know, I was quoting the Bible. Because somebody always says, he never read nothing out of his Bible. I don't get those emails too much anymore. They're just hilarious to me. I just don't know why you would preach for an hour and a half and never read a scripture. Quoted about 75 of them. Pieced them together, painted a picture. Prophetic preaching, just like prophetic art. When you're done, everybody sees. But I didn't read a scripture. Man, don't go there, guys. Here, I'll read one. Ephesians 2:4, but God, who's rich in mercy because of his great love in which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together in Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Guess what he did? I wasn't going to read this. I just looked. I'm just here. This is awesome. I should read more out of the Bible. And he raised us up together, and he made us sit together in heavenly places. Come on, that's mindset, perspective, motives. Colossians 3 says, set your mind on things above. If you've been raised with Christ, don't think about things of earth. Think about things above where Christ is seated. Verse 2, set your mind on things above. Verse 3, for your life is hidden in Christ. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, you'll appear with him in glory. Therefore, because this is true, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, passion, evil desire, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. For this reason, the wrath of God is coming to those who continue to disobey, in which you all lived when you walked that way. But you yourselves put off anger, wrath, malice. Yeah? What's he saying? You've been born again, and the way you were living before you were born again has nothing to do with who you are, why you were created, or who God is. That's taking an exit, water baptism, dead, new life through Jesus Christ. So then it says, don't lie to each other. You've put off the old man and his deeds. I'm not sure some of us did. Some of us prayed a prayer to go to heaven in case we die. You put off the old man and his deeds, and you put on the new man who's renewed in knowledge according to his image. Yeah? So therefore, put on tender mercies and loving kindness. Yeah? Bear with one another. forgiving one another, even as Christ forgave you. Above all these things, put on love. It's the bond of perfection. Whew. I believe this with all my heart, and I'm saying it with passion. If we miss becoming love, we'll have done a whole bunch of church and never became her. If we miss becoming love, we'll miss the whole reason for the cross. The cross is not paid in full when a man prays a prayer to go to heaven. The cross is paid in full when his nature's transformed back to what he was created to be in the first place, and everything that was lost is restored. Amen. You can pray a prayer to go to heaven and stay self-centered. I'm not being condemning. Bear with me. And if you're in this boat, don't you get condemned by what I'm saying. Just make sure your heart's in a good, clean place for the rest of your life. Look, we're born again. We're Christians. We still have marital troubles. We still get divorced. Some people sleep around. Some people live in fornication. Some people are doing everything that the people that aren't born again are doing. It proves we don't totally understand what fulfillment in Christ means and what it means to be wholly given to Him. So we're living an emotional life trying to meet our needs along the way to get by, and we're driven into survival at best, and we bring God into our life to help us get through. And sometimes we're even praying for the people that get under our skin and on our nerves. Instead of us getting new nerves and new skin, we'll just pray for those who get under our old nerves and old skin and wonder why God ain't changing them and why God's letting them keep abusing me and saying things like that, because I am so emotionally abused. Listen, you can only emotionally abuse people that don't know who they are. And I understand that people have been through hell and unfortunate things, and I wish it wouldn't happen, but nobody can emotionally abuse you if you know who you are. But a lot of people that go to church don't know who they are. And they need somebody significant in their life to say the right thing. And when they don't say the right thing, then they got the wrong thing. Or they ain't got enough. And all of a sudden, people are set up to fail you, hurt you, let you down. And again, your trust is broken. And he said, don't even trust in no flesh. Isn't this amazing? I love these two. I don't see them much, but I'm glad to be here. I'm here because I want to be, right? You understand that, right? So I love Mark and Claudia, but I'm not supposed to trust them and put my trust in them, but they're called to live trustable. Ain't that something? But I trust in the Lord with all my heart. I look up from whence comes my help. I come to them for something. If I'm positioned for them to fail me, I just might think they did. If I come to them in need and they don't pull through, I just might assess that a certain way. And this thing I know, they ain't nothing. They appear to be. They up there preaching all these gospel and Mark up there, all this. And then when the rubber met the road and behind the scenes, and I and he gonna say, so? You know how people have gone to church and got so hurt, and then they don't go, I sit beside them on planes almost every weekend. It's the same story over and over. Well, I used to go to church. Well, let me fill in the blank. You say something happened and hurt. Oh, you can't church. People are a bunch of hypocrites, man. I don't go to church. And then I say to them, do you see how much you let that get your heart hard? And now you let where they're not decide where you are. Because look me in the eyes and tell me you have intimate relationship with Jesus, because I don't believe you do. I can hear the pain still in you. I can usually have them crying in less than 5 minutes. No, I'm serious. I go right after it. They're going to sit beside me with a plane, and they seatbelt up, I'm already. All the time. Crying. Five minutes, 7 minutes is a long time. It's usually by five. Because they're hurt. And that thing's festering, and all you got to do is just poke it a little, and it splurts. Oh, it's true. And then you got people around you listening. And you're not yelling, you're just whispering, you're talking, but the person on this side. I had a man, it's a true story, looking through the seat in front of me, he's reading a book, he's on the same page for close to 15 minutes. I was gonna reach up and tap his shoulder and say, hey bud, you're really blowing your cover, turn the page. Because he ain't reading. Here's how you know people are listening: when you go to leave the flight, You got 2, 3, and sometimes 4 people in the jetway trembling and ask you if you can pray for them on your way out. That happens when you live Jesus. That doesn't happen when you have issues. But it happens when you're dead to yourself and alive unto him. Because Paul said, I've been crucified to the world, and the world's crucified to me. But I'll tell you what, if you sell so cheap and you're so thin-skinned that somebody just butted line and got in ahead of your group, or so they could get their bag where yours don't go now, and you let that bother you, that now you can't even see anybody on the plane because you're upset because they violated your space. And that's why I don't like to fly, because people just get on my nerves. People everywhere. I just want to go get in my cabin up on the mountain where there ain't no people. Wow. And all of a sudden, you don't even see all the need around you because you think you got need. But my Bible says, if I know the love of Christ, I've been filled with all the fullness of God. I looked up the word fullness. It means a house with no empty rooms. I'm fully occupied. There's no vacancy in me. I got a sign over me, no vacancy.
Yay.
Because if you got vacancy, something's going to try to fill that space. That word fullness, you know what else it means? It means a ship so full of cargo, so full of cargo, there's nowhere to find a place to put one more box. That means you ain't carrying nothing but what's full. Him in you. Christ in you, the hope of what? You know what glory is? Very simply defined. Any manifested, seen, realized attribute of God. Anything that's seen and realized that is who he is the glory of God revealed. The Christ in you is the hope of God being seen and known.
So they're sitting beside me on a plane and they lock that seatbelt.
Ain't that awesome? But if you got issues, come on, you're hearing me. I'm not talking in riddles. If you got issues, you got unresolved conflict, you left your home in tension. Now you're just worried and frustrated and wondering why they're acting this way and they don't even appreciate me. And now you're stewing on it for the next hour and you make it this big. Now it's this big. Now you're more self-centered than you were in the first place because now it's just ballooned. And now you even worse yet, talk to your friend and tell them the whole story from your angle. Oh, yeah. You pastors ever realize that? Somebody comes with you. Do you ever learn that the grace of God on pastoring is to never just buy in and believe somebody's story? Because then the person they're talking about comes and it's like, are y'all living in the same house? Is this the same? Two totally different perspectives, stories, and angles. They're both derived usually from self-centeredness because they're pointing the finger. When spouses do that in my presence, I ask them if they're born again. I'll say, because there's nothing in your life right now that looks remotely like Christ, and I'm concerned. How can you tell me you're born again and stand here in my presence, which represents pastoral? It's the closest representation to God that you seem to even be caring about, because there's no fear of the Lord in your life to talk and act this way in front of me. Because usually people stop swearing when you're a pastor. So if they're going to stop swearing because you're a pastor, but they're swearing, that means they have no revelation of God. Because he's always there. That's why it's so important to have a revelation and an intimacy and relationship with him. Because his eyes are always on you. And that isn't to make you condemned or ashamed. That should make you confident. He's always in you. He's always with you. I'm going to wake up for his glory. Integrity is not an option. Character isn't something I have to work at. This gospel put it back inside of me. And I'm going after God. Do you get what I'm saying? So what you see is what you get. You ain't got secrets. You ain't living in the dark. Here's you come out in the light.
Yeah?
Are you all good? So what you do with a sermon like this? You go, duh. See, it's great repentance, man. It's like ding, ding, ding. We'll close this out. I just saw a clock up there. It's a big clock. Looks like a full moon now to me because I saw it. It's like that full moon thing that just happened there the other week. That's a big clock, man. That's a big clock, dude.
It's really that time, too. It's because you worship so long. I can't believe I even went there. What? No, it's you. You preached all that time. Stand up here. Hey, this is really good. I'm just messing. It was good. I love you, man. And you guys were awesome. Who appreciated that worship? Let's do something tonight. So you guys got this, right? Listen, if you're not surrendered, like I'm not a big altar call guy. I really believe we should just live in the convictions of our heart and learn to just respond to God in our heart and be like, oh my goodness, like, yeah. Yeah. Like, honestly, if you can't just sit there and go, yeah, then what's all this going to change? On a topic like this, I don't think it's an altar call. I think the message was an altar call. Are y'all with me? To where he's calling you to sow on a truth that you believe you heard truth because it was backed by many scripture. And the life of Jesus. And if you can't see it in him, why would you want it in you? If you can't hear him saying it, why would you say it? If you can't put what you're saying in his mouth and make it work, why would you leave it in yours? Look, when you squeeze an orange, what do you get? See, you didn't say juice, you said orange juice. Why? You squeezed an orange. If it wasn't orange juice, that would be weird. Why isn't it weird when you squeeze a Christian and get everything but Christ? Man, that should be weird. And wonder if the enemy's learned, I'll just squeeze them a little and find out what they don't understand, what they're not surrendered to, just how selfish they really are and don't even realize it. I'll just squeeze them a little. This will be fun. Let them go to church, but squeeze them. Ah! Go to church, squeeze. Ah! And then you're like, why is all this stuff happening to me? What am I doing wrong? Why isn't God protecting me? You ever hear anybody talking like that? Not you, just somebody. Boy, this is good, man. I'm glad you let me have a microphone tonight. I sat in so much traffic to get here. I said, this better be good tonight. I was putting all kind of ultimatums. I said, they better show up. No, I'm just kidding. But your traffic is off the hook. Like, GPS lied to me so bad. It said it was 4-hour and 55-minute drive. But I knew better because I've been here before. So I knew not to trust the GPS. Because you don't trust nothing but the Lord. Amen. So the GPS definitely lied. But it did good the rest of the way. But I just kept hitting red line after red line. And you got a 40-minute delay 20 miles ahead. Would you like to go this way? It'll only be 18 minutes. And then I look on that and it's getting red. And I'm thinking by the time I get there, it'll be 40. I'll just stay my course. So it took me a little over 7 hours to get here. See the compassion you have for me. Oh, that made me feel good. Because he didn't have no compassion. I called him. He said, so. And somehow it just felt vengeful, like revenge or something. I said, so? Holy Spirit sitting there with me. I'm like, he said, so? No, he didn't. But I told him, I was teasing him. I said, now I know, brother, I'm never scheduling anything else up here again. You guys are on your own because I ain't coming back. I said, in fact, if this thing keeps getting worse, I'm going to do a U-turn. I hope you're ready to preach. Didn't I tell you that? I was teasing him. He said, no, that ain't right. Now, that would not be the Lord. What'd you say? Oh, yeah, he said, you do that, you just might go to hell. That's what he told me. It was so funny. Oh, my goodness, Lord, have mercy. But we're here. we're going to do something. We're going to pray for the sick. Is that okay? Because this normally was the night that we're going to do that anyway, normally. So that's not why we're going to do it. We were going to do it anyway because I want to. Is this right? And I guarantee you Jesus wants us to. No, he really does. So listen, I know you heard. I don't talk in riddles. Here's what I asked the Lord a long time ago. I said, Lord, if I preach, would you please do this one thing for me? If you're going to put me in front of people, I'm going to get all these invites and fulfill as many as I can. Would you do one thing for me, please? I said, if they're going to give me a mic and give me a pulpit, I mean, it's a humbling thing. This isn't a small thing. It's authority. This is humbling. This isn't a hotshot position. Teachers are going to face a stricter judgment. This ain't getting the limelight. Hello? This ain't where you manifest to get noticed. Be careful with that stuff. It's humbling. And I said, Lord, if you're going to do this, I'm going to ask you to do something for me, please, that when I'm finished speaking, a man only has two choices in his heart. That he says, wow, I hear what you're saying, man, and I want that. Or he says, wow, I hear what you're saying. I just don't want it. But God, don't let anybody say, what are you saying? And I don't get a whole lot of like, what are you saying? It's pretty simple. A child can hear what I'm saying. You can't believe how many parents email me and say their 7, 8, 10, 12-year-olds are saying, can we put on Dan tonight? What do you want to watch tonight? Can we play Dan? They're kids. They're not saying Disney. There's a lot of them saying, Dan, why? Because they can hear it. They understand it. And it does something to their heart. So an 8-year-old's like, I love him. Wow. Makes so much sense. And he's funny. You know? But if they think it's funny, they have to understand. You wouldn't understand. You wouldn't think nothing's funny. I just think it's humbling and it's awesome. So I know you heard what was said tonight. And here's the beautiful thing. There's nothing I preach that you can't live if you wrap faith around it, irregardless of anything you're faced with, going through, or anybody that's in your life right now. No matter who they are, how they're acting, or what they're doing, it's that so thing that it isn't a joke. So how does that change what you're called to, created for, and why you're here? It's her and I standing up and saying, hey, we don't look anything alike, but we both look like him. That's the unity of faith. That's oneness. That's an army rising up. Yeah? So I'm driving home. I'm going to be in Pennsylvania. You're all living wherever you're from, and you're waking up. I'm waking up. We might not even don't even know when we'd see each other again, but we're both waking up for the same reason. Going into our spheres of influence for the same cause. Both living the Lord, letting our light so shine. Refusing to grow weary in well-doing and not throwing away our confidence, Hebrews 10, because it has great reward. If you have need of endurance, so after God's will is fulfilled, you can receive the promise. So there's a will of God to fulfill. There's purpose. It ain't praying a prayer and, hey, I'm in, now bring on the blessings. Don't throw away your confidence, great reward. You have need of endurance so that after the will of God is fulfilled, you'll never fulfill what God created you for and called you for in the midst of this world if you don't walk it out with endurance. You're going to be tried on every angle. You hear the word, Satan comes immediately to steal the word so it never becomes life in your heart. Sometimes that word sown in left field, thorns, rocks, no root, no rooted and grounded in love. You hear a message that serves you and benefits you. Woo-hoo! And the heat of the day comes. Woo-hoo! Come on, it's in your Bible. So listen. You be humble tonight. You be responsible for what you heard. Because listen, if God granted me what I asked, which I believe he did, I believe he's given me an ability to communicate without complexing it. I heard what you said, and I want it. I heard what you said, I don't want it. You see the accountability in that? Do you see how that would be the love of God? To give you every opportunity to see and hear? Because that locates your heart, your desire, your will. The love of God wants us to hear and understand. You'll never be able to stand before him and go, well, I never knew that. Just sitting here tonight, these kind of things will convict you for weeks and
things you'll be living. If you're living in anything outside of what you heard, that thing can come back. It's a seed. It can come back. Holy Spirit go, psst, hey, hey. I wonder if he just puts my face in front of you while you're driving. You're like, ah, I repent, Lord. Take him away. Better yet, middle of the night. You open your eyes. Ah! No, Lord, not again. Some guy last weekend said, man, I was sleeping, I was dreaming, and then I woke up, and it was like you were sitting right there looking at me. God used you in something you were preaching. I said, hey, I preached that God's going to have me right there when you wake up. He said, oh, you were right there. I was like, whoa. And he said, it was like I was just waking up, and it was like God gave me this impression, and you were saying something I needed to hear, but it was something I saw on YouTube, and it came back and replayed, but it was like you were right there, and I just laughed. Y'all good? Listen, God never made us for ourselves. He made us for his image. The Bible says that. It's the biggest problem on the planet. God would never, if you think life's a grind and a bleep and a blank, and life has a lot of coin phrases, life's right, life this, that. If life seems that way to you, there's only one reason. You're living it outside of why you're here. And you're living outside of grace. Why would God empower you to be where he never created you to be? Why would he fuel the tank to drive down a road you were never called to travel? That's why life feels that way to people. And they're tricked into survival mode. And they're just trying to get by. And I promise you, if you're trying to get by, you're not going to shine. So if that's you, just say, man, I am not going to live there. And I'm going to pray this corporate prayer, and I want you to pray from your heart. And I want you to tell God, if you were convicted by this message, if you're saying, man, I feel located tonight. I feel like, wow, I could glean from this or something really stood out to me that man said. Would you apply it in faith right now? Would you talk to God? And would you tell him, hey, would you help me with this? Because, man, I hear wisdom in this, and I don't want my life here when it can be here. You see what I'm saying tonight? Because only you really know you, right? But separate yourself from any other factor. And any other person, don't say, well, you don't know the spouse I got to live with. See, you missed the whole night. Because the spouse you're living with, as much as you despise it, has become the Lord of your life. It's the dominating, governing factor of your being. And you believe until that changes, you can't be okay. Totally deceptive. Deception. You can shine in the midst of it all. How's God okay in the midst of all our craziness? How many of you, I'm not saying recently, how many of you in your life, you knew, flat out knew what was right and didn't do right? And many times you can remember you disregarded what you knew was right. Anybody in this room relate to that? Like everybody relate to that. How come God didn't freak out? Why didn't his love grow cold? Why didn't he grow weary in well-doing? Why didn't he cut us off? Because he's love. Now, I've been preaching this the last few weeks because it just strikes me. The person of God is amazing, and you could talk about him all night and never do him justice, right? And the names of God and the attributes of God. But watch this. Take all those attributes that God is, but take away love. That would be scary. All-powerful, almighty, all-knowing, but not love. Bias, control freak, self-centered. Wonder if God wasn't love. What makes us love him is because we see his first love. If he wasn't love, you could never have a love relationship. It would always be a need-driven relationship. He could develop cliques. He could be biased. Your personality might just rub him raw. If he wasn't love, that would be freaky scary. If you leave God, who God is, and take out love, you don't have the God we worship. What makes him so over the top, attractive, and amazing is he's love.
And he said, let us make man that way. And that got lost when man got cut off from the source of love through sin and became in need of love. A minute ago, he's being love. Now he needs love. And everybody in this room was born into that vacuum and that need. So we're supposed to get grafted back in and connected back to the Father through the Son. And if we see the love of Christ and know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, we're full again, the fullness of God. That doesn't sound like deficit. That doesn't sound like needy. Most of the time we say, I love you, we're really saying, I need you. And we prove it by the way we react to each other. Listen, we're going to pray. And just believe that God's going to give us grace where we heard. Is there anybody here? I don't do this a lot, but I'm going to do it tonight. Is there anybody here? You've never been saved. I'm not talking backslid, recommitted. You just somehow got to this service, a friend brought you, or you just strolled in. And you're hearing me preach, and you're hearing this thing in your heart. You've never, ever given your life to Jesus. Is there anybody? I'm not saying it because I'm hearing there's somebody. If I heard it, there was somebody, I'd say I heard that. I'm just offering that. Is there anybody at the sound of my voice? Or is this just a Christian meeting? Because if it is, that's great. That's stir up Christians, man. Get them to walk in the light. Yeah? I'm all about sharpening and stirring in love and good works. That's why we're supposed to gather. Not for some God to just meet our need or do something. It's for us to get stirred in love and good works. But is there anybody in this room that you can honestly tell me, I've never been born again, and I hear what you're saying. I want to die to myself. I want to surrender. I want you to let me know who you are. I'll get you. We're not going to embarrass you. We'll just freak out and celebrate. And you can come up here and I'll pray with you. And we'll find a way this weekend to get you water baptized. And I'll talk to you all about that. Water baptism is amazing. It's you dying to yourself and living under him. We put you under. If you're a good pastor like me and Mark, we'll hold you under till every bubble stops. We'll wait 40 seconds after the last bubble. Usually 20 seconds after last bubble, there's a twitch. And then if you wait 30, 40 more seconds, you got them. And then you bring them up. New life. And if you don't get the, we know where you went right in the nick of time. So it's all good. We just don't want you to get in the habit of going to church and not being her. See, nobody will ever want what you say if they don't see it in your life. Don't reduce this to a doctrine or a message. Your life is the loudest sermon you'll ever preach. I'm feeling like there is somebody maybe would need born again. Might just be one person. Actually, I think it's two. See, the longer I wait, then I get these little impressions. I honestly think there's two people here. You've never been saved. Don't be nervous. Your heart's pumping. You already know it's you. So why wouldn't you just say, I'm done living for me when I was never created for me? Why would you keep living something you're convicted of? That's why your heart's pumping. Your heart ain't pumping if you ain't convicted. Yeah, I feel like there's two. I actually feel like there's two people in the room. You've never, ever been saved, and somehow you got here. Would you come up here and get saved quick? Like, it would be phenomenal. We could find a way to water baptize them somehow, right? We'd take them in the backyard of your house. Man, you got all that water? I'll jump in there. I'll put them under, baby. You going to respond? I'm not begging. I'm asking with all my heart, with compassion. I do. I actually feel like there's two. I just felt like I got that impression. Anybody going to respond? Actually, if you respond, I think the other one will too. Will you? You've never been born again? You've never been saved? You want to get saved? Come on, man. Yeah! Yeah! Everything I'm saying making sense to your heart? Yeah? So you understand why Jesus came. He came to restore you, to give you new life. Yeah, 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 as a kid. Never water baptized. Yeah? You've never done this. You've never like... You're seeing things that you never saw, and you're going, wow, this makes sense to my heart. Yeah? Yeah?
Yep.
What's your name?
Matt.
This is Matt. We're going to pray with him. I need my other person because I absolutely know there's another one. I do this all the time, guys. I know when I have perceptions. They're crystal clear. And when he came up, I'm like, I feel like the Lord's going, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I just need my other person. Why don't you come up here and we'll pray together, get born again with Matt tonight, and we'll just celebrate, man. And we'll find a way to get you water baptized. Would you come? Real quick, would you come? See, as I'm asking, it's not backing out. You coming? Come on, man. Come here, man. No, that's good. Them tears are awesome. That's great. You ready to give your life to him? You ready, ain't you? This made sense to you tonight. It hit you right here, didn't it? Guys, I'm so proud of you. No, I'm so proud of you. What's your name?
Dave.
You know what you're doing, right? You heard clear. Who'd you come with? Who'd you come with? Woohoo! Yeah? Yay. I love the tears, man. Not that you have to cry. You came up here. He's trembling like he's like. No, you was, man. I said, yeah. I love the tears. You know, there's a time in our life we get so convicted. And I know sometimes it can feel to you guys uncomfortable when I'm calling you up. And it's kind of hard to stand up. But everything in you was telling you to stand up, wasn't it? Yeah. I got my two. Oh, lucky guess, Pastor. You know, I did a service last night. They called it a barn revival. So we preached the gospel in that barn. And we were all done. And we were ready to pray for this whole group of people. And I spun around and I said, hey, there's one young man. You're here. You've never been born again, but you're here. Somehow you got here. You've never been saved. One young man in this barn. Please come up. And he jumped right up. He said he went to a prayer thing one time and didn't understand it was his first real church event in his life. And he heard a message like this and said, whoa, I'm going to give it all. That's what these guys are saying. Why don't you all, just in honor of God and these guys, why don't you stand your feet, stretch your hands to these men. Did you hear us cheering and shouting and freaking out? You think that was real? We understand, man. And we're like, woo! So we're going to pray for y'all. I don't know how we can work out baptizing, but maybe we can figure that out. But if there's a way this weekend, if you're not too far from here and you're available, and I'm kidding about the bubble stopping. You're too big. I couldn't hold you under. I'd need that Samson anointing to come on me to do that, buddy. You might put me down. I mean, just... But here's the beautiful thing about water baptism. You go under in sincerity for 1 second. And come back up. It's death, burial, and resurrection. You die in the likeness of his death. And what you're doing is you're calling everything you've ever done dead. Anything ever done to you dead. Watch. As if you never lived before. You're calling it all dead because you didn't live it in truth. You didn't live it with this knowledge. And you're going to call it all dead. And you're going to die in the likeness of his death. Die to sin, its effects, its stain, its memory once and for all. And you're going to come up in the newness of life. 1 second of faith and sincerity, and you get to step into everything his real death paid for. That's pretty amazing. Yeah? So I want you guys to pray this with me, all right? Just stretch your hands, and don't pray loud, because I'm going to have them pray out loud with me, and just repeat with me. I think I'll pray it real simple. You'll understand what I'm saying, because I can see your hearts. But you guys, under your breath and in your heart, pray the best prayer for two young men that you've ever prayed. And just start believing God's grace and blessing on their lives. Would you do it? Yeah. Say this with me, guys. Say, Father God, I come to you tonight, understanding I've lived selfish, I've done things wrong. You sent your son to pay a price to forgive everything I've ever done through the blood of Jesus, through the cross of Jesus. I believe you'll forgive me tonight. Say, Father, would you forgive me of everything I've ever done? Wash me clean through the blood of Jesus. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help my understanding. Help my heart to know you more,
so I can live everything you paid for and live everything you created me for. Now, I know you believe this. Say, I'm all in, Lord. I'm giving you everything I am, the best I understand. Take me and fill me with all that you are. Thanks for saving me. Thanks for loving me. Thanks for making me a son. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah! Come here, man. How do you want to work out just talking to him at some point? Maybe working out a baptism thing, a plan, maybe a leader, or somebody. Just try to work out something. Is there somebody has a pool in the church? Is there, or you don't have a baptismal here? You'd have to set it up. No, let's do something simple and easy, man. It's summertime. Let's just, yeah. I mean, listen, I've baptized people in hotel swimming pools. I baptized people in hotel bathtubs. I'd be like, come on, man. You got to get water baptized. I was in New York. I took an 18-year-old New York boy into the hotel room, into my hotel room, baptized him in my bathtub. He came up and the holiness of the Lord came over him and I just backed out. I said, whoa. His grandmom was out in the hall. I said, he's in there with the Lord. I'm not kidding you. That young man came out. It might have been 40 minutes later. He looked totally different. I just said, hey. He said, we just hugged. Right in the bathtub. It's so important because it's a contact point of faith of what you just did tonight. And it's an absolute wrap your faith around the truth that God forgave you. We're calling it all dead. I'm starting brand new. I got the present and things to come. I got new life through Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So I don't know how you want to work that out, but we'll figure it out. All right. You guys, yeah. Bless you, man. Give God a big shout for these guys. Yeah! Now, you guys got to help me. It's a 9:45. Are you fired up enough to pray for the sick? Or now, yeah, okay, that's a lot. I was going to say, now, I don't want one or two zealots to shout. I want to know, are you guys good if we do this? It's not too late for y'all? You know, good? I wish I was in a different time zone. I always pull it on them, because I'm like this at midnight when I'm preaching, and I'm on the California coast, right? I was just in Portland. It was like 10:30. I said, hey, guys. I said, can we, and they're like, yeah. I said, are you sure? I said, because to me, it's 1:30, because I'm from the East Coast. I said, you can see how tired I'm getting, and they're like. So I said, here's the truth. I'm always 3 hours ahead of you. So try to keep up with me. And we just had church. We stayed a while too. But I'm not here to do that. But I do think it would be important to pray for the sick. Can you hang in there for a little? If you can stay, please stay, because this is fun. This would be fun.
And also tomorrow, after service tomorrow, I'm supposed to do activation, same thing.
Tomorrow at 10:30 service?
Yes.
What time's the service tomorrow?
10:30.
10:30, is there an evening service?
Yes.
Okay. What time's that?
6:00.
6:00. So if you can come, if I didn't run you off, come on back. If you can't, fine. Send a friend or bring a friend. Let's pray for the sick tonight. I want to teach you a little bit of something, and I want you to all get involved with me. You can all sit down. Sit down real quick. Thanks for standing up and praying for them, man. Was that fun or what? I just knew it was two. So proud of you, dude, that you came up second like that, man. I said, if he comes up, I think the other one, he was right behind him. Look, they're right. Woo! But you blessed my heart when you jumped up like that late. He's up here, and I'm like, come on, because I knew you were here. You know when you know that you know, right? When this big dude jumps up, and then he starts, I said, oh, bring it, man. I'm so proud of you guys. We're going to pray for the sick. Okay.
The number one reason a lot of Christians don't pray for the sick, they're afraid nothing will happen. Some of it's a lack of understanding concerning healing, but most of the time it's just a general, I'm afraid nothing will happen, so I don't want to put myself in that position. So if you're afraid nothing will happen, you never pray for the sick, guess what you always have? The very thing you're afraid of. So that can't be the answer, can it? Because you'll never get away from the Bible. The Bible is going to remain. Heaven and earth is going to pass away. Men will argue over Scripture for the rest of their lives. It's just the way it is. But the Bible says these signs will follow those that believe. It's Mark 16. He ain't talking about the disciples. He's talking about those who believe through the disciples' message. He says, go out, make disciples of all nations, right? And then he says, and make believers of all men, and these signs will follow the ones that believe through what you're preaching. And it said, they shall lay their hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. Because we haven't seen everybody recover we've prayed for. We've got analytical. We've come up with assessments. We've gotten literal and face value, and we've pulled back. Are you all with me? You're not going to find the truth about healing through your experience, your resume, or your statistics. You're going to find the truth about healing through Jesus' life and through his scripture. And that's what you're supposed to follow. Listen, I preach on healing. We pray for the sick all the time. I pray for the sick when I see sick people out in the public. My own mother died of sickness. Doesn't change a thing about what I believe. Doesn't change a thing. I'm not going to covet my mother over the word of God. I'm going to grow up into him in all things. I'm not going to sit here with a hurting, failing heart because my mother died. No, my mother's alive. She's well. She's with Jesus. The blood of Jesus caused us to win. We could never lose. Did I lose a little temporal time with her? Yeah. Is she well? More than well. And I'm going to run well, and we're all going to rejoice together one day and be glad that we were believers.
Yeah. You get it? Yay.
So see, I told you that little story so you can't say I don't understand. Come on, look at the color of my hair. We've all lost people in our lives. Haven't we? But you read your Bible, it still tells you to pray for the sick. There's still promises for healing. We sang the song, every promise is yes and amen. Is there promises for healing? Is every promise yes and amen? Yeah. Paul said, our gospel didn't come to you yes and no. It came yes and amen. Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything else is of the evil one. When you have a yes and no, maybe he will, maybe he won't gospel concerning healing, you've been deceived by the evil one. Because if it's a maybe he will, maybe he won't, you'll never ever live by faith. You're just taking a stab at it. Come on. Every promise is what? Let your yes be yes and your... But because some people haven't been healed, or like my mother, then we say, well, see, God doesn't heal everybody. And sometimes you pray and God just doesn't, you know, in his good timing and blah, blah, blah. And we come up with all these things. So what we do is we marry yes and we marry no. They have a couple children called maybe so, maybe not. But scripture says there's no marriage between yes and no. That it's yes and no. Anything else is of the evil one. Ain't that something? Boy, he slipped in there into our doctrine and got us believing some wrong things. If every sign follows the believer and you were the enemy, wouldn't you mess with what people believe? Wouldn't you get them to fight over it and write stuff about it and spend your whole life arguing? See, you can argue till you're blue in the face. I'm going to sit beside that person on the plane. And you're going to tell me why it ain't God and why it ain't for today and why I'm scripturally incorrect. But I'm going to love them and I'm going to hear something, probably what's wrong with them. And I'm going to share and they're going to weep and I'm going to pray. And then on my way out, two more people are going to ask me to pray. And you're going to tell me I'm deceived and I ain't right. I'll tell you what, I'm just going to stick with the fruit that's on my tree. Wisdom is known by her children. Yeah. Oh, that felt good. All right. Okay, when you pray for the sick, there's people that won't know if they're healed because they got a condition that there's nothing that could viably tell except for simple faith in their heart. They might get migraines once a week. They just don't have one now. You ever hear anybody talking like that in a grocery store line or somewhere out? They say, boy, I'm sure glad I ain't got a migraine. I've been getting them so bad. I thought it was going to be maybe today. I hope it don't come tomorrow. You ever hear that when you're out and about? Listen, when you hear that, just take that little step and say, hey, excuse me, standing right behind you, couldn't help but to hear. I wasn't even eavesdropping. I just heard what you said. Listen, nobody will even know what we're doing. Would you please give me the honor? Please don't say no. That's what I plead with them. I said, could you, they don't even know what I'm ready to ask them, but I always already say, please don't say no. I said, would you please give me the honor and please don't say no. What? Please let me pray for you. Oh, well, no, nobody will even know what we're doing. It's for you. I believe he loves you. If I didn't think nothing would happen, if I already believed nothing would happen, why would I even ask? Ma'am, I've seen this before. Would you please let me pray for you? Well, okay. Father, I just thank you for your amazing love for this woman. Migraines, you leave her. You never, ever, ever come back in the authority of Jesus' name. Father, let your love be revealed. Just come and reveal yourself to her. Thank you, God, for who you are in her life. Amen. They're going through the line. Nobody even knew what we did. She realizes I'm sincere. She realizes there's no string attached. I ain't selling her nothing. I ain't got her arm up in the middle of her back trying to get her to pray. What did I do? I just sowed a seed. That's what the kingdom of God does. Religion says, well, did you lead her to the Lord? I'm trying to give her the Lord, okay? See, we always make the goal a prayer to go to heaven. And the people that believe that are mean. They're critical. When you're telling them a story of somebody getting touched, they don't even hear the story. They say, well, did you lead them to the Lord? Oh, I've had it happen to me countless times in my life. Religion, get right in your face. Well, did you lead them to the Lord? Well, what's the sense of healing if they didn't get saved? I've been asked that by many people. The Bible says, go heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of God's here. It didn't say nothing about praying a prayer with them. Go tell them why they're healed, because God's kingdom here. You probably ought to join it. It's amazing how no one in the Bible ever went around and tried to get anybody to pray a prayer, that in the Bible they just lived such an extraordinary life that men watched and said, what must we do to be saved? In the Bible, men were cut to the heart by the way Christians were living, and they jumped on board. There wasn't no altar calls if you die tonight and don't know where you're going. We came up with that about 80 years ago. It's called the Sinner's Prayer. It's about 80 years old. I'm not against it. I'm just saying, tell them the whole truth. Are you all with me? You'll see two things with healing, a lot of different sicknesses. People that'll know if they were healed, people that don't. You see somebody limping, I've parked my car to get out and pray for people going down the street that obviously had an ailment. I've prayed for people in stores that was obvious. You don't need a word of knowledge if you can see it. Words of knowledge are fun. Don't always ask for a word of knowledge if you're not praying for the things you see. Why would you ask for a word of knowledge? Just start touching the things you see. Are you with me? Just say, excuse me, ma'am, what happened? Is that your knee or ankle? What is that? Oh, it's my knee. Oh, and tell you, well, listen, some of you young ladies, you could get away with this so easy. You look, it happens to me. I'll just weep. I don't even know the person. I'll say, listen, I can tell that must have really been, that's been troubling you a lot. And they're like, they'll see you crying. It'll freak them out. I don't have the ability to just cry for them. It's just compassion. It comes in your heart. It's from the Lord. And all of a sudden you say, listen, can I just pray for you? And most of the time they're like, yeah, okay. It's just beautiful. The number one reason we don't put ourselves in that position, we're afraid nothing will happen. But I promise you, if we don't put ourselves in that position, guaranteed nothing will happen. But if I sow a seed, what can happen? It can get watered and it can grow and God can cause the increase. Faith of a mustard seed. A man sows a seed, he goes to bed at night, he wakes up and says, whoa, God, how do you do that? Look, if you don't sow, why would anything grow? There ain't no farmer on the planet ever just walking in his kitchen. Corn, bless God. Corn, praise the Lord. Corn. Mildred come walking in and said, Harry, what you praying, bless God, for the corn? You ain't even been out there plowed the field, boy. I'm just believing God's growing corn. You didn't even plant no seed. God will do anything. He'll grow the corn. Ain't no farmer ever did that. I don't care how spiritual he was. He went out and he put that seed in there and said, thanks for blessing the fruit of my ground. He sowed, he watered, and God brought the increase. Yeah.
Are you with me? It's no different spiritually. We're interceding for our cities, and rightly so, but let's make sure we're sowing a bunch of seed in our cities so that our intercession has something to make a draw on. Y'all with me? So let's do this real quick, and then I'm going to teach you something. We're going to pray. We'll get out of here soon. If you're in this place, please respond. Let's not come this far and you stay this late and then not participate. Please, please, please participate. Don't find a reason good enough not to participate. If you have an ailment, a condition in your body that if you were healed, there'd be no way to know except time would tell, a test would tell, or you would just have to find out in a moment. You know what I'm saying? Like you have no symptoms to attach it to. You have no timing. Would have to let you know, oh, I'll know if I stand on my feet at work all day. I'll know if I get home and have to do it. You know what I'm saying? You have something in your body. It might be internal. It might be something you're taking meds for, but you don't have symptoms, and you'd only know if there'd be a test or time will tell. That's the first group we want to pray for. We'll just be brief, teach a little, and we'll cover that. And I'm telling you, participate, because what I'm watching God do in these little sessions is really, really, really fun. All right? I promise you, this isn't religious. This is Jesus coming in a room and changing things. You watch and see what happens in this room tonight, especially y'all sitting here and letting me get it late and y'all patient. You're just a bunch of sitting ducks, man. I don't even think you realize what's about to happen. It's going to be fun. Who here has an ailment, a sickness that if you were healed, there'd be no way to tell if you were healed other than simple faith? Raise your hands. If you can, just stand to your feet. Well, you would be able to stand because you don't have a symptom. So go ahead and stand to your feet. Look around. That's a lot of people, guys. Fix your heart. Fix your eyes on somebody. You don't have to get up and out of your seats, but just look at somebody. Just pick somebody out that you're looking. If you're sitting close to them, just pick them out. If you're sitting right beside them, say, hey, if you don't mind, they don't mind you holding their hand, take their hand and just say, hey, I'm going to believe with you when we pray. Okay, if you stood up, here's what I want you to do. I only want you to do one thing. I mean, you already stood up. That's one thing. But I want you to do this. I don't want you to pray. I don't want you to try to receive. I've been around us. I just want you to believe this one thing. No matter what you've been through with why you're standing, no matter what it's put you through, no matter how long it's been, I want you to believe this one thing. Watch. You have to love me, Father, or you'd have never sent your son. Let every question in your life about God's love be erased, because the cross is the barometer of God loving you. It's not your health. It's not longevity of the sickness. It's not your trials. It's the cross. Jesus hanging on the cross says, love you. So I want you to believe he loves you, or he would have never sent his son. Fair enough? And then we're going to believe something for you. And because you're believing his love, faith worketh through love, we just believe God's going to change situations all over the place. The testimonies I get from this, the stuff we're seeing God do, is phenomenal because he's so good. And when we as a church get in right believing and come with right heart, whew, and I think we're just starting to see the beginning of what God's about to do in us. Amen? Because I'm telling you, he's cleansing us. He's purifying us. He's aligning our emotions. He's putting beauty on the bride. He really is.
He likes us a lot. He's going to spend eternity with us. And he paid the price to do it. He must really like us. Yeah?
Y'all ready? If you're sitting near him, or if you're believing for somebody, or you took their hand, here's all I want you to do. Be made whole. In Jesus' name, believing he loves them, or he'd have never put Jesus on the cross. Go ahead, just speak that over him. Father, I thank you for wholeness all through this room. Be whole in Jesus' name. Yep, corporately, I thank you, Father, for a sweep of just healing, restoration, and redemption. God, I thank you things disappear, things just go away, and things never return. Lord, I thank you the symptoms never show up again. I thank you the weakness is destroyed forever. I thank you the x-ray shows different. God, I thank you there's nothing on the inside growing. God, I thank you, Father God, right now. God means source of life. That's why I called him God. God, source of life, thank you for what you're doing right now, and thank you for what you're bringing through the cross, through the blood and name of Jesus, into every person's life that stood. Be made whole. The body of Christ declares it and receives it in Jesus' name. Now thank him that he loves you. And just pray something out of your heart like, wow, Father, thank you for new life. Thank you for restoration. and thank you for redemption in my life. I so receive your love tonight. Thanks for loving me. Amen? Amen. Grab your seats real quick. Okay, that's our first group. So what's our second group? Our second group would know, right? So now don't think you got to pray for the first group all the time because that's easier. You pray for the second group all the time because it's all the same. Look, faith is the position of your heart. Faith to believe and receive what he paid for. Faith isn't hit, miss, win or lose. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. Let's take a stab at it. Nope. He loves people. He's a healer. And I'm going for it. Period. Are you with me? So here's what I need you to do. And if you can't stand up, make sure I know you're here, because I can't tell. Sometimes you can't see if somebody's in a wheelchair or they have a walker and it's very hard to stand, but you want prayer. Make sure somebody lets me know they're sitting and that they need prayer. But here's what I need you to do. Please participate. If you need prayer in your body tonight, and you would know if you're healed, watch. No exaggeration. We're not looking for you to say the right thing. We're not looking to just rah-rah this thing. We want you better. We want you whole, right? So if you were totally healed, if you were healed, you would actually know it because it's symptomatic. There would be a way for you to absolutely legitimately check that. I need you to stand to your feet, please. Please don't stay in your chair if this thing fits you. If you got arthritis in your body and you're feeling it right now and you can find it in a heartbeat, just stand up. Arthritis, don't stay in your chair. Don't get so used to living with something that you've just identified with it and you've been prayed for 50 times and it's never left, so you're just sitting because you kind of vowed, I ain't never standing anymore because I never get healed anyway. Please, give us a chance tonight to love you in the truth and stand to your feet. Don't make me go fishing. I'm a real good fisherman. I really am. Caught a lot of fish just this week. No, don't like test the Lord and like, well, if he calls out my situation, I'll stand up. Just stand up. Just stand up. We got everybody? Y'all good? I'll just wait. Thanks. Thank you, sir. Just a couple more. I'm just waiting. Please stay. Stand up. Don't stay in your chair if you fit this. You already know for some reason you didn't stand. Stand. Thank you. Good. You guys ain't making me even go fishing. You're just standing. Here's what's cool. Can you tell I'm waiting? Watch. Do we have plenty of people to pray for? Then why am I waiting? Because this isn't a ministry thing. This isn't an end of the service thing. Jesus is about to move in this room. And he wants you standing because it's real and it's going to happen. And that's why I'm waiting. Be honest with me. Did I have plenty of people to pray for? Sure did, didn't we? Could have went and made a go of it. But my heart was telling me no. And I'll tell you, a whole bunch of y'all stood up when I got quiet and just stood here. You were like, stood up. Thanks for jumping up late. Now, you all were the last ones. You know that, right? I'm just messing with you.
Anybody else want to be the last one? We all good?
I'm feeling good in my heart. We got plenty. We got plenty standing now. I feel like we got people standing that need to be standing. Okay, now this, I'm setting you all up, okay? I didn't tell you this. This is a setup. The people that are standing, one hand, you're not worshiping. Just raise one hand so we don't lose you in the crowd. Now, please participate. I'll walk you through this in a moment. No one can mess up. You can't go wrong. I'm going to teach this thing so clear, you can't make a mistake. If you've never prayed for the sick, if you're nervous, if you're scared, I really want you on my team. The people sitting, I'm hoping, will be my prayer team. We're going to do this as a family together. I'm asking you, if you're freaked out when I'm saying this, you're saying, you mean he wants me to get up and pray for somebody? That's what I'm asking. And you're freaking out, please do it, because I want you on my team. Because you ain't like, woo, shabba. You'd be like. If you're sitting in your chair and you're willing to participate, I want one-on-one. Don't pray yet. Just claim somebody. Say, hey, I've never done this before. Just tell them I'm going to pray for you. Jump up. Go find somebody. Maybe somebody you don't even know. Get out of the aisle. There's a lot of people. Keep your hand up so they know who you are. Don't pray yet.
You can meet them, tell them your name, make a friend. Hurry up, let's do this. Get everybody covered. Put your hand down if you have somebody. If they claimed you already, put your hand down. The only hand I want raised is if nobody has you yet. Okay? Look for the hands up, people. Only have your hand up if nobody claimed you yet. There's one right here. Look for a hand up. There's one in the back, way back in the back. Oh, there's one by the pole over here. There's a guy right. Yeah, somebody's coming. Oh, good. You got. Oh, we got a young lady, right? Oh, you got her?
Yeah.
You can put your hand down. Did we miss anybody? Are we missing anybody? You did that quick, guys. You all got up, too. I'm telling you, Jesus likes this. Now, here's the cool thing. Nobody's under pressure. Like, forget that. It's not pressure believing God and praying for each other. It's love. It's awesome. It's what we're created for. Now, here's the deal. Here's where the pressure comes from. Who's ever prayed for the sick in here? So you'll chuckle and know that I'm right when I say this. When you go to pray for the sick, you know what happens? You think about your prayer and you try to pray right, powerful, and anointed. And somehow we got tricked into thinking our prayer is healing the sick. Your prayer ain't never healing nobody, never did, never will. How's that for encouragement? That's freedom. Watch this. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be made whole is plenty when there's a revelation. See, if it's your prayer, then it's works. Then we all ought to go to prayer college. Am I telling the truth? Who knows that when we pray for the sick, we get very self-conscious about our prayer and we try to pray right and sound spiritual. Try to slip a scripture in there. Father God, thank you, Father God. Father God, that you, Father God. You know why y'all laughing like that? Because you know it's true. So look at the freedom tonight. Guess what? Ain't nobody has permission to pray like that tonight. Watch this. I'm only going to give you about 5 to 6 seconds to pray. You know why? Because I like you a lot. And I'm your friend. And watch this. Ain't nobody getting in trouble in 5, 6 seconds. You can't even get self-conscious in that amount of time. Because watch this. In a minute, they're going to tell you. I'm going to have them tell you why they stood up. And they're going to say, I have a herniated disc in the middle of my body. And you say, okay. And then when I say go in prayer, watch what it can sound like. Disc, you be completely whole. Pain, you completely leave. In the authority of Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Who knows, you can say to the mountain, Matthew 17, say to the mountain. Faith will what? Say to the mountain, move. And what will the mountain do? Move. That's any obstacle standing, right? Faith. He's, don't say he ain't talking about healing because it's the parable or the story with the epileptic boy and why can't we heal the boy? If they say, I got degenerate knees, my knees are bone on bone. Knees, you be completely whole, completely restored, no more pain. In Jesus' name. Who knows you can do that sincerely in 4 or 5 seconds and be sincere and be full of faith. Believing that God loves the person, paid the price by his spirit to come through Jesus Christ and do that work. See, we carry way too much pressure. We're trying to perform. We're trying to pray right. We're trying to sound anointed. Tonight, you might just say, be healed in Jesus' name. You might just say, be whole in Jesus' name. You can do that in 2 seconds. Be sincere and never get in trouble. So here's what we're going to do. You're going to take about 3 seconds and tell that person that's standing with you why you stood up. Give them the 3-second version. Just tell them your situation real quick. Tell them why you stood. Just tell them. Won't take long. It won't take long. All right? Y'all getting it? Good. As soon as you got it, just quiet down. We'll do this thing. Y'all good? I know it takes some time a little bit to explain. Y'all know what you're praying for? Y'all got it? Okay. Quiet, quiet if y'all got it. Don't pray yet. Don't pray yet. Don't pray yet. We're going to do this together. I'm going to give you about 5, 6 seconds. So in a minute here, I'm going to say, And I know you don't believe this, but I ain't praying at all. I'm going to stay totally quiet for 5 or 6 seconds. It's a challenge. I think I can pull it off. Yeah. So you guys are going to pray. I ain't praying over top you. I'm going to let you pray. Because you got to understand, watch this. After tonight, you're going to go, some of you are going to be like, man, this is really simple. This is simple believing. I can believe this. You'll be at work and you'll hear somebody saying something at the microwave. You'll be nervous because of coworkers, but you'll find a way to, hey, I'm telling you, this thing jumpstarts people. Jesus likes this. You watch what he does in this room. So we're going to pray. I'll give you 5-6 seconds. And then what I want you to do, remember, if you stood up for prayer, remember the only thing you're allowed to do tonight? I know you love me, or you'd have never sent your son.
That's a good place to live, right there.
The people getting prayed for, that's all I want you to do. Honestly, I know I joke about it, but I don't want anybody praying in tongues, trembling. Just relax and say, wow, thanks, because you really love me, or you'd have never sent your son. This is awesome. And let the person that's believing do the believing. You receive God's love. Will you do that? They're going to pray for you for 5 or 6 seconds. I'm going to say, okay, wrap it up. Now, that doesn't mean you just... You just wrap it up in the name of Jesus. With a lot of people, I acknowledge God's love for them because I just feel like we're lacking a revelation of God's extreme love for us. You don't have to. Name of Jesus, very important. Right? Body be whole, arthritis you leave, disc you be healed, shoulder you be restored. Name of Jesus. After they pray for you in the name of Jesus, and I wrap it up, say, hey, wrap it up, guys, and bring a close to it. I want you to take your time. I want you to acknowledge his love in your heart. Wow, God, you're good. Thanks for what you're doing in me. And then begin to inventory your body without hype, exaggeration. Did you notice we didn't pull no worship up here? I'm going to make this room as dry as we can. Because it ain't like, this worship team ain't taking, following you into Walmart's parking lot, you know? And you just flowing through the parking lot. Nope, it's just you, your nerves, and your conviction that they need prayer. And you're a Christian Nike commercial, you just do it. And sometimes it ain't all fuzzy. Sometimes it seems dry. Sometimes they roll their eyes. Sometimes it feels like they're just patronizing you and saying, whatever, if you want to. You can't be moved by none of that because of what you believe. Because of what you believe. Tonight you're going to exercise what we all believe in our hearts. All of us in our hearts believe if Jesus touches somebody, it's done. Tonight we're believing he's touching through us. So I want you to check your bodies, inventory your bodies. I don't want any exaggeration in this room. That's called lying. I don't want you to feel bad for the person that prayed for you, so you're going to tell them you're okay. That's self-preservation. They're going to be okay, period, because they're caring for you. They want you whole, not lying. Are you all with me? Three things happen when we pray for the sick, it seems. We see people instantly healed. That's what we all like and want and shout for. But they're all three amazing because we're all releasing the kingdom in a seed. Watch this. You'll follow me. Tonight, we'll see people instantly healed. We'll see people feel somewhat healed. And there'll be people that'll say, man, I don't think anything changed. But watch, we're not going to leave it at that. We're not making an excuse for that. We're going to take some testimonies tonight of the people that were healed, that know they were healed. We're going to find out what God did. If you were somewhat healed, if you didn't notice any change, don't throw away healing. Don't run your mind. Wow, I knew I shouldn't have stood. Every time I stand, nothing ever happens. I always feel so stupid. There's like 10 people say they're healed, and I'm never healed. You know I got to be doing something wrong. There's got to be something blocking my healing. I must need deliverance. There's something going on. It might go way back. This could be 4 generations deep, dude. I want you to turn all that off and throw it out tonight. You watch and see what God does in this room. You throw all that out. You listen to a couple testimonies. Watch. A Christian has one response. God, you're amazing. Your love for me is incredible. And thank you for what you're doing. Period. Watch. Take a couple testimonies. You listen. You go, wow, God, that's so good. You're such a healer. See, I probably wore out my battery. But I ain't wore out. We don't need a battery. I'm fine. They'll hear me. They're fine.
You gonna give me a handheld and put bondage in my hand?
We must have hit it.
Supposed to be a minister of freedom. I don't think so. I just think the batteries are dead, man. So we're going to take a couple testimonies. And if you didn't notice any change in your body or somewhat change, I want you to listen to those testimonies. And every time you listen to a testimony, say something like this. Wow, God, that's awesome. Don't say, why not me? Say, wow, God, that's awesome. You're such a healer. You're so good to us. Is it on? Do we got it? No. I'll just do this, man. I'm good. You just stick right on my pocket. I'm secure. Disconnect. That's it. So, no, we're good. So, listen to the testimonies. Say, wow, God, you're amazing. The way you're healing. I just appreciate what you're doing in me and people. Wow. And then check your body one more time. You might hear 2-3 testimonies. Wow, God, that is so cool. Check your body. You watch what happens in this room if we won't disconnect. Most of the time we disconnect. We live face value, draw conclusions, and live in that place. Tonight, you have no permission to do that, please. Don't stay this long and try to do that. No conclusions. Stay connected. Nobody disconnect. Watch and see, like popcorn in a bag. Things will just keep happening because he's a healer. And we're learning what it means to believe. Are you with me? Yeah? You all ready? You know what you're praying for. You didn't forget? Because I know I teach a long time. Y'all didn't forget, right? Okay. Look at that person and just look real mushy-eyed at them like they're really worth it, worth the blood of Jesus. Make them feel nervous. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Okay, you guys all ready? I'm not going to pray over top y'all. I'm going to get quiet. Count generally in my head to 5 or 6. You be sincere. People being prayed for. Wow, God, you love me, or you never sent your son. Thanks for what you're doing in my body tonight. This is a big deal. This is awesome. I receive it. People's going to pray for you. Say to the mountain, move. Be specific. 5-second prayer. I'm going to say, bring it to a close. Boom. You take your time. Check your body. When you know you're healed, make sure I know. Let me know. And I'll give you time to know. I don't want snap judgments. I don't want exaggeration. I want you to know, so take your time. We're not threatened by you taking your time. Okay? Y'all ready? Give them the kingdom right now. 5-6 seconds. Pray faith. Over. Thank you, Father. Okay, you can begin to wind that down. You can wind that down. Wrap that up. Jesus' name. Yep, that should really be closing up now. We're way past 10 seconds. That's good. Jesus, that was good. That was healthy. I could hear that was healthy. That was awesome. Father, thank you. So just thank God that he loves you right now. See, it seems too simple. It's not simple. He paid for this. He really likes that you all are engaged. Thank you, God. Check your bodies all over the room now, now that you thanked him. Just start checking your bodies. Check your bodies. Check your bodies. Make sure you know. When you know you're healed, let me know. You already know? Good. Let me know when you know. You already know for sure? You know? Wow, good. That's quick. Make sure I know when you know. When you know, go like this so I can discern that it's you. Yeah, there's another one. Good, there's another one. You for sure? You know for sure. Wow. Yeah? 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 Just keeps coming. We'll take some testimonies. Look, don't get familiar with this. Stay engaged. We're just getting started. You watch and see what happens in this room. I was just in one of these things, man. People were doing things they haven't done for 30 years. I watched spouses cry watching their spouse do things they couldn't do for the longest time. This thing is real. Jesus is Lord. Yeah? Who knows they changed? Let me see your hands. Start showing me your hands again. I saw a lot of hands. If you know you're changed, you know it. You know it. Okay. Who wants to share that? Who will share that? I can just point you out, but who wants, yeah? What happened?
Yeah. I have bone on bone, the doctor said, and I've been having tremendous pain in my hip. The pain is gone.
Okay, my understanding of bone on bone is a lot of pain if you move the wrong ways and stuff. So you've learned to protect probably certain movements, because you could find it if you looked for it, right? You can't find it. I mean, you would have been able to. Before this prayer, it wouldn't have been hard to find out you were bone on bone, right? That's all I'm asking. You can't find it.
No, I can't. I'm a little off balance.
Okay. Stretch your hands to her, guys. What's your name?
Sally.
Sally. Oh, I use Sally in examples all the time. I'm not talking about you, though. But I'm always using Sally. I don't even know why. I finally met her. And Jesus healed her. Stretch your hands to Sally. Father, we thank you for what you're doing in Sally. We thank you, God, it lasts forever. Like Ecclesiastes says, what the Lord does lasts forever. No one adds to it. No one takes away. The Lord does it that men might fear before him. Father, I thank you for a restoration of Sally's balance. And I just thank you for mobility restored. And I thank you this pain will never, ever, ever, ever return. God, you're so good to Sally. Amen? Amen. Yeah. Now, if you didn't feel change in your body, you thank God for Sally, check your body. As we're talking and testifying, if your body changes during that process, make sure I know. Has anybody changed since the last time I asked? Has anybody changed? You did? You did? You did? You did? Just since the last time I asked. Woo! That's good, man. You see? Who else? Who wants to share what happened? Does somebody want to share? Here comes a lady running. She's going to talk about it. Woo! Here you go, girl. Just tell them, yep, right to the point. Tell them what happened.
All right, guys. I get out of breath really easy, and I can breathe.
Yeah? Was that a condition? What caused that?
I had COVID last year. Okay. A couple of months ago, I actually got exposed I got exposed to mold. So okay. The combination.
So we understand what you're saying. So you know your body. You know what it's been like, and it's just different. You just know it. I can see it in your face. Where's your friend? Would that have been hard for her just to hustle over here like that? She'd have been like, no, this is good. This is a friend. This is helping us understand. She what? What did you say, Pat? Really slow? No, she was running to the mic. I was like, here comes a lady running to testify. Woo! Okay. She just knows she's different. If you look at her face, you can see it. But Pat, you know it, huh? Yeah. Anybody else want to share a testimony quick? Let's take another. There's a whole bunch of hands that raise. It'd be good to share your testimony if you want to. I usually just call people out, but for some reason I'm asking you to. He's coming up. You come on up. I'm going to go over here and grab her. Yep.
I've been walking I've had kidney transplants and all kinds of shoulder. I broke my shoulder, and I've been leaning this way. And I asked the Lord, and we prayed, and I feel like I'm straight.
Oh, you're straight. So you were that
and
way
knees,
because you had to be? Like you?
No, because all of the surgeries. Oh. And you know, you're walking like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I've been prayed over. But I said tonight, and then I had two calluses, which they feel, and my knees bone on bone, the same thing. But it doesn't feel like it.
You feel good in your body.
Yeah.
Like it feels like an overhaul.
Yeah, plus the Lord told me that he granted healing in my hands.
Yeah, well, yeah, because he raised you up to be a believer, right? Now watch this. She said, I've been prayed for. Don't anybody make the mistake. Some people say, Dan, you got to understand. I'm just talking behind the scenes conversations with leaders and pastors. Dan, you got to understand you have a certain gift in your life. You carry a mantle. You take that in the room. Things are happening because you're walking in that, da, 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 da. And I'm like, no. Listen, we're keeping it simple. We're getting out of the way. Many of us are trying too hard because we're sincere. We're trying to pray right instead of believe right. And when you take that one little thing off and you get people up that haven't been really in the game and they get the ball and they pray for somebody and God, boom, that's sweet, right? So we're seeing things change that haven't changed for a long, long time. So here's a lady saying, look, I know my body. I know what it was like and I know what it's like right now. We might not totally understand, but I think we're getting it. Something really changed in her body. Yeah? Yeah. Okay. You want to share? Sure. Yeah.
Okay. I was prayed for a hernia right here. It wasn't instantaneous, but I kept my hand here.
It was bulging out?
Yeah. I was bulging out. I could feel it, and I could feel it going down.
You felt it closing?
Yeah.
And it's not there?
Maybe just a...
Just a tiny bit. Check it for me right now. Don't be embarrassed. We're all good.
We're all grown-ups, right?
Yeah.
Just about.
Yeah?
So.
Can you tell it's bulging just a little?
Just a little.
Who prayed for you?
Two people. Charming young lady, stand up.
Man, you got double team. Who was your people?
Stand up. The young girl with her hand up, and then what's his name? Sean with the big beard.
You two, just come on up here real quick. Real quick, just walk over there. Oh, I wish that curtain was lower, man. We'd make you the man behind the curtain. Just step over there. They're going to pray for you again, and then I want you to, like, just go back there and face the other way then and really check your body. I just feel like that's going to go completely away for you. Okay, let me ask you this quick. I know it's late, and people feel like they need to roll, and they might have to. That's okay, but watch this. Who was prayed for? You didn't raise your hand because it's not all the way, but you know you're better than you were. You're somewhat changed. Let me see who you are. Can you stand to your feet? Stand to your feet, please. We're going to do something. I want you to see this. This will be fun. We'll do two real quick things. You're not all the way. You're somewhat. You're not all the way. You're somewhat. Is your person still here? You're not getting another person. I want your person to get to look. If that's your person, run to them. Now watch. Don't change your prayer. Pray the same, pretty much like, I'm not telling you a quote. If you remember what you prayed, don't grab for straws is what I'm saying. Don't get into works. Pray the same prayer you prayed the first time, and let's watch and see what happens. See, because here's what we do. We're so face value. We'll pray and say, oh, well, you know, I guess God didn't want it, blah, blah. And we'll come up with an answer for what we're experiencing instead of just continuing to believe. So we're going to pray one more time for these people. These people were saying, I know I'm better, I'm just not all the way there. True? So you might want to tell your person, hey, I'm 50% there, I'm 75, I'm 35, whatever it is. And then your person will thank God for what he's doing. Pray the same prayer. Come at that thing in 5 seconds. Say to the mountain, let's watch and see what happens in this room. You all ready? Go ahead. 5 quick seconds of sincere faith. You just believe God loves you or he'd have never sent his son. 5, 6 seconds, complete sincere faith in Jesus' name. What's going on with you? You just feel like it's still a little bit there? You don't feel it? Wow, for sure, you don't feel it. Oh, that's so good. All right, guys, he doesn't feel that hernia bulging at all. The second thing I ever saw healed in my life, I was 4 months saved. 4 months saved. Nobody told me I could. Nobody told me I couldn't. I didn't even know what a word of knowledge was. I couldn't even taught it in the Bible. I was 4 months saved. Guys, that's like, I see this guy and I say, man, I feel like you need a surgery. Like you need an emergency medical touch from God. Like you got a surgery. You're facing a surgery. You need something in your body now. He said, watch, you can't make this stuff up. It's like a movie. He said, I'm going in the morning for a double mesh wire in my abdomen wall. They said my muscle wall is breaking down. He said, I have a blowout. It's the size of a small orange, a big plum, right under my belt line. I said, no way. He said, yeah. I said, can I lay my hands on it? I want to pray. I was 4 months saved. I just found to lay my hands on the sick. He slid his belt down, and that thing popped out. It looked like a little water balloon sticking out of his skin. I put my hand right on it. I was so excited. Father, I just thank you. That thing went closed under my hand and was completely gone. Now, what do you do with me at 4 months saved? Try to calm me down, sit me down, and theologically align me? Well, you can see nothing works. So I'm either the most twisted man you ever met, and I'm lying, and I'm feeding off your temporal attention, or I'm telling you the truth. I guess time will tell. Yes, it will. That's the first thing I ever saw. He went in for his surgery. You know what the doctors told him? There's no degeneration in your muscles. There's no seam, no tear, no scar, no line. You're completely whole. It doesn't even look like you ever had a hernia. And then they're like this. Now, I've seen a whole lot of this in my life, doctors doing this. I think it's awesome. I'm not against doctors. I just think it's cool when they go like that. My wife was in a coma with severe brain damage on life support and woke up with no brain damage. And the doctor cried and held me and said, I've never seen anything like this in my whole medical profession. I said, sir, his name is Jesus and he's my king. Doctors don't cry and hug their patients.
especially their patients' spouses. But that one did. Woohoo! Okay, that last group we prayed for, did y'all check your bodies? Who changed? Anybody changed? You changed? You changed. 1, 2, 3, 4. Who else? Anybody else change that last time? Serious? You guys serious, right? Oh, you ain't trying to make us feel good, right? Ain't no liars. See, if you're a liar, you're a friar. It says if you lie, you fry. I'm messing with you. Let me see your hands if you changed that last time. So look what God's teaching us. Believe and keep on what? Believing. Don't draw the conclusions. Don't create theology. Don't write an assessment. Believe one thing and camp there. Let's do this last thing. This is the most important to me. You're here and in your body, you felt no change. You felt no change. Who is that? Stand to your feet. If you felt no change, but you asked for prayer and you didn't get no change, stand to your feet. Is your person still here? If that's your person, run to them. Don't you get somebody else. Don't you say, hey, why don't we go get them? Because find your person. Is your person still here? Is there anybody missing their person? Are you missing your person? You don't know where they went? He left? Do I have an available replacement? Do I have a pinch hitter in the room? Preferably a young lady or a lady. You don't have to be a young lady. Well, that's all right. Are you friends? I'd rather somebody just come. Right there. Yep. Oh, you're in trouble. This girl is coming for you. No. You're in trouble. I can see it. Yeah. Everybody got somebody? Now, these are people that nothing changed up until now. Is that true? Okay, listen. Biggest challenge when you ask for prayer and nothing changes is controlling this thing and not letting it spin to some crazy demeaning place. Like it's something I'm doing wrong. Like you weigh things face value. Oh, God's not healing. Whatever happened to seed time, harvest time? Whatever happened to, see, when I prayed for my wife in the coma, she's sucking on a tube, guys. I got to hold her eyes open manually, and I'm looking right at you, dear, but I couldn't look at her. There was nobody to look at. That's my wife. And I just smiled and looked right through all that and prayed some 20-second probably prayer. I know it was a little longer than I give you all. It was about 20 seconds. And I walked out of the room. That's where we get in trouble. When we say amen and she's still sucking on that tube, we think we got to keep praying or wave another flag. Or when do you just believe? I looked at my son and I said, buddy, we're going to leave. Your mom's going to be fine. We did what we came for. She's going to be well. 1 hour later, she opened her eyes. Now, I know how a lot of us get. We wait for her to open her eyes and we keep praying until it happens. And about 4 prayers in, we're so full of unbelief. By the 10th prayer, we're almost crying. Come on. Sometimes you just got to say, you know what? I believe. Sometimes you get prayer and you don't see change. You got to say, God, what you're doing is amazing and I thank you for it. And I just rejoice in you. You're so good to me. You crawl in bed and your hip grabs you. And instead of going, man, how come I never get healed? Father, I so thank you for what you're doing in my body. Your love is unstoppable. Thank you. That's how your hip changes. But tonight, you watch what happens. This is my group. Let me see your hands quick. Nothing changed yet, right? This is my last group. And we're going to pray and I'm going to let you all go. Thanks for toughing it out with me and hanging in there, all right? It's good, man. I sat in all that traffic. It just feels like redemption. You all ready? You got your person? Watch. Same prayer. Don't grab for straws. Don't try to get creative and pray something else. Pray what you believe the very first time. Pray it over them right now for 5 to 6 seconds. Believe God loves you or he'd have never sent his son. Go. Go ahead. It's awesome. Pastor Mark, can you hand me a water, please? Yep, that's great. Oh, that's great, guys. Thank you, sir. Just start wrapping that up right now. Sincere faith. Just wrap it up in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Yeah. Take your time. Thank God he loves you or he'd have never sent his son. And begin to check your bodies one more time real thorough before we dismiss. Check them real good. Check them real good. Who's changing out there? Anybody changed that time in my group? This is a group that nothing had changed yet. Anybody changing? Check your body's good. Thank you, God, for what you're doing. Anybody in that group, anybody notice any change that time? You got some? A little bit or a lot? A little bit of change? Good. You got some or all? Some. How much? What, 50%? 75? Who prayed for you? Jesus hanging out over there? Pray one more time, same way. 5 more seconds. Thank God for 75 and believe for the 25. Watch what happens. It'll be fun. We got 75% change. Nothing changed up until now. He's been checking, testimonies checking. We pray one more time. Boom, 75%. Do you see the power of continuing to believe and not drawing conclusions? Wonder if the people praying get disheartened. Wonder if the person being prayed for draws conclusions. Then we shut down the move of the kingdom of God and we quench faith. Are you following me? Come on, faith is not a hit, miss, win, or lose. It's a position of your heart to believe what he accomplished. Anybody else changing? I'm feeling like God's going to do a couple more things here quick. Anybody else in that group? Don't make nothing up. Don't exaggerate. Just tell me the truth if you feel it changing. We had 1, 2, 3. Anybody else? Anybody else? What's going on with you, man? Still 75? 90? That's fun, man. Okay, watch. Nothing. Check, check, check. Check. Testimonies? Were you doing the whole... You were following, right? Instructions. Good. Check, check, check. And then 75. And now 90. Here's what I found on the streets. Nobody that ever got better on the streets, they freak out. Sometimes they swear. They're like, what the blank? Are you blanking kidding me? No, it's not a joke, friend. You're not like, stop, you can't swear in the presence of the Lord. They don't know any better. Did the Lord know they were going to swear when they got healed? Did he still heal? He's probably not bothered. You need to chill. They don't know any better. They can change that in a minute. So watch what I've learned on the streets. I'll say, you're like 75% better? They say, yeah, no kidding. No, I believe you. You don't got to talk me into it. Let's pray one more time. Boom, we'll pray again. They'll say, I'm like 90%. I've never had anybody say, well, I'll say, well, can we just pray again? Because listen, I'm not a rocket scientist. I'm not the brightest man on the planet, but watch this. Better plus better plus better, sooner or later equals what? So if you got 75, 90, and I'll say, can we just pray one more time, man? This is exciting. They'll be like, yeah. Now they act like they're charismatic. And they were just swearing. Anybody else change since we're talking? Check your bodies one more time for me. I just feel like something's still going to move a little bit. And if it doesn't change, we're not running some risk. We're not putting you in a bad spot. Something getting better? Now you're 80? It was a very little bit? He was being gracious. He said, very little bit. But he's standing there listening. He's checking. He's like, ooh. I was like, what are you doing, man? 80? Definitely, yeah? Good. Listen, if your body didn't change tonight, don't you be disheartened and get analytical. Analytical is not a gift, by the way. It's like people pride themselves and they say, oh, I'm very analytical. Okay, you should have stopped that yesterday. Let me tell you why. God never gave you a gift to think long enough about something that you could talk yourself out of him. He never gave you a gift to make something simple complicated to where you couldn't believe it. That's what analytical does. It's what the devil did to Eve. He took something simple and matter of fact, made it complex and distorted it to where you couldn't see the truth. Analytical is not a gift. So please don't pride yourself in it. But if your body didn't move tonight, listen, it's not failure. It's not your odd man out. We sow the seed called the kingdom of God. If you lay hands on the sick, they shall what? You ought to be excited about that. And you leave here in relationship with God saying this, wow, Father, thank you for tonight, the simplicity, the sincerity. You are absolutely doing a work in me. And I'm just saying, yay, thanks for loving me. You go to bed that way, you wake up that way. You live that way. You see what's wrong with me? I live that way. You say, yeah, but your mom died. She didn't die. She is very much alive. There's something you need to learn, too.
We're pilgrims. We're sojourners. This is not our home. We're just passing through. Don't get so sentimental that this earth and this natural quick wisp of a vapor life owns you. Don't get so sentimental that you live outside of faith. We already won through Jesus Christ. There's no way we can lose if we keep believing. Are you with me? Okay, I preached enough for 3 nights. It's 10:45 and I'm happy. And you guys are troopers. Nobody fell out the window. That's because it's pretty hard to sleep when I'm up here. Not that Paul was boring. He just preached all night. I tell people, if I catch you sleeping when I'm preaching, I'm going to call you by name. I'm going to believe Jesus will give me your name. And I'll say, hey, Fred, I hope you're praying, right? Or Sally, I hope you're praying. Y'all good? Fred. All right, Fred. Hey, sorry, man. I thought your eyes were closed. Hey, let's get out of here, but stand to your feet with me, would you? Just lift your hands and begin to thank God that he's so awesome. And in the midst of being awesome, would you thank him? He's love. Remember, if he wasn't love, man, that would be, whoa, that would be different. So God, that's what makes you so over the top. And if you're love, would you continue to mold us and shape us and make us love? God, I'm believing that in your presence right now, that you would actually burn in the heart of this room the motivation to be his love. That God, our whole goal of instruction, 1 Timothy 1:5, is love. Would you mold us, shape us, that we think like you, perceive like you, motivated like you, that love would never fail in our lives. God, let us see men through your eyes. Let us love men through your heart. God, thank you for what you're doing in us, the body of Christ, in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for all the healings. Thank you for all this testimony. We thank you for the people that are believing that bodies will change through the night. Do you believe that with me? Or do you believe that's just some overstated evangelistic have to say that in my position thing? No, I sincerely believe bodies are changing through the night because we aren't letting go. In Jesus' name, we believe. Amen? Amen. Love you guys. Whoa.
All right, listen, tomorrow morning at 10:30, you don't get an opportunity like this all the time. Get some good rest tonight. Let's meet again at 10:30. See this conference through. God's got something else in store for you. God bless you. Be safe.